London's LBC 97.3.
Correct.
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
So Saddam's going to hang, eh? And the US said that it would be a good day for the Iraqi people. Oh, yeah, we'll take the kids and some sandwiches. We'll make a day of it. It'll be super. Well, I hope they televise it, Luce. Maybe Sky will have it on subscription.
Fox will.
yeah, they will. And Amnesty International, the news this afternoon was a quote from Amnesty International. I only heard it once, and nobody's repeated it since, so maybe it's not true. Maybe they're just making it up. But it said that they were claiming that the trial was unfair and have grave reservations about the outcome. About the outcome? Well, I don't think they're going to get much support there, are they? Amnesty International, wasting their breath. I mean, who's going to rush to his support? Come on. And Tony Blair says, oh, hanging. That's a great idea. Yeah, let's do that, he said, speaking as a Christian. Since when has he been in favour of capital punishment? You can't even slap kids in this country and suddenly wants to... He thinks it's a great idea to go and hang people in another. A dichotomy there, Luce.
It is rather, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I don't know why they bother with a trial. Why do they even bother with a trial? Why don't they just go straight to the execution?
It's going
to
take ages now, isn't it, anyway?
Well, he'll raise a finger of complaint.
Well.
He's always got one finger in the air. Why does he always have one finger in the air? Every picture you see of Saddam insane and his ilk... They've always got one finger in the air. What's that about?
He's always got something to say?
Well, that's true. But while he's saying it, he's always waggling his pointing finger
in
the air.
So it's not like putting his hand up in class?
Well, a little bit like that. Well, maybe he just needed to go to the loo. He'll probably get off on a technicality.
Maybe.
The judge wouldn't excuse him. All right, let's introduce ourselves by name and then by... which film was the last you saw?
Oh, my name's Lucy, and the last film...
Hello, Lucy.
Hello, Nick. I can't think what my last film was
oh,
I saw.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that rubbish?
That's shameful.
Well, I don't watch films all that often.
I knew you were going to say that. Girls
yeah.
don't like movies. They don't like movies. They don't like cars. What do you like?
I don't know. I like painting.
Do you paint?
Well, I've painted the ceiling today.
Oh, right. you paint like Hitler, you mean? The walls.
Oh, have you ever done a ceiling before, painted a ceiling?
I hate all that.
Oh, well, the ceiling is particularly bad because I actually managed to get a bit of paint on my contact lens.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which wasn't very...
Is this why you're pleasant? Looking less than utterly glamorous today?
Probably. At least I did change my clothes, actually.
I mean, I know it's Sunday, but you're not on your own here.
It's dress down Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least I'm wearing trousers today.
Yeah, you've got your and your bow tie on, which is nice.
No, I don't normally come in trousers. I've actually got trousers on today, Luce.
Oh, yeah, actually, you normally wear tracky bums,
tracky
don't
pants,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some hoolie.
Yeah. At least they're not shiny, though.
Right. Next.
Chris, and the last film was National Lampoon's European Vacation.
What?
What's that?
Have you not heard of the National Lampoon series?
Well, yeah, but they came out in the 1970s.
I know, but I found the box set in...
Oh, my God. A box set of National Lampoon films?
Yeah.
Were they paying you to take it away?
Well, it was... Actually, yeah, they kind of were, because it was... there was £3 off.
Are you sure it wasn't with your newspaper today?
No.
That would only have been a good value if the original price had been £2. £3 off.
Yeah.
Well, how much did it cost?
It was only £9.99.
Oh, well, £9.99.
That's a lot,
right,
isn't it?
That's £10, in other words.
You got four films for that, though.
Right.
In that box
Each
set.
One of them more painful than the last, I bet.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't seen them for years, so I've wanted to see them again.
And how was it?
Not as good as the first time around.
Right. Which was pretty bad, I imagine.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of that James Bond film. I saw the new James Bond film on Friday. You know, where this station and every other station that I work for are playing that Bond music in amongst adverts. And it just sends a frisson of excitement through me. Look up frisson. I bet it's, I bet it's a kind of salad leaf.
Quite possibly. Isn't that the frise?
Yes. And, no, I thought it was great, and I've been thinking about this, and I read a couple of reviews, which agreed with me completely. You know, I get tired sometimes of being so right. Just once in a while, I'd like to be wrong, you know. and they were saying how utterly fantastic it is. And, I was thinking about this overnight, and I thought, you know what? Everybody's notion of, James Bond is that everyone who succeeded Sean Connery is not as good as Sean Connery, right? Mm-hmm. Roger Moore was... It was amusing, right enough, but in a fight, would you look to Roger Moore? Not really, no. And then there was George Lazenby, and no-one can remember George Lazenby, poor bloke. Is he still alive?
Don't know.
He's never worked since.
He did a few, didn't he?
One. Yeah.
On Her Majesty's... Was it on Her Majesty's Secret Service?
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Yeah. He can't have been that bad, surely. They wouldn't have released it. So I thought that was pretty unfair that the entire world ganged up on him, just as they were ganging up, before they'd even seen the movie, on this new bloke, because his hair was blonde and his ears stuck out, and he had the face of a potato, they said. And he was too short, you can't drive, and all these other things they were throwing at him before they'd even seen the film. So after George Lazenby, it was Roger Moore, and then it was that Shakespearean actor.
Who I thought
was actually quite good, because he had a steely menace about him.
I keep wanting to say Daltrey, do I mean?
No. Yeah, that's about right.
Roger Daltrey.
No. Roger Daltrey.
No. Oh, what's his name? He was actually in the same Indian restaurant as me one night, having dinner as well. But I can't remember for the life of me what his name was.
Dawson.
I thought Pierce Brosnan came after Roger Moore.
No.
Pierce was only the last one.
Yeah, there was a dark-haired, curly bloke who had a bit of steel. Pierce Brosnan, the thing about Pierce Brosnan was, to me, I said this last night, he always looked like he was shopping for clothes to me. He didn't look dangerous in any way.
No.
Like, you'd walk into an antiques store and there would be Pierce Brosnan, eager to serve you, as opposed to kill you. I just didn't believe him in that role at all, and I'm glad they got rid of him.
Oh, I liked him. I was very sad.
Or he retired, whatever the circumstance was. Mm. But no, there was the guy in the middle, Roger... It's not Daltrey, it's Dawson... anyway, him. I thought he was pretty good, because there was a bit of menace about him, you know? Looked like he could conceivably, in a pinch, punch you in the face.
Yeah, but he didn't have great reviews, though, did he, particularly?
No. And I think that up until... the present day, up until and including all of the Bond films that have been released so far, they were all a bit silly. They were all the same. They'd all start with this gigantic stunt where a guy would leap off the world's biggest dam.
Or crane, or...
with a bungee cord tied to his feet. And they did do it with this one of them. It's one of the best stunts I've ever seen. He leapt off a dam with a bungee cord tied to his feet and free fell, like, I don't know, about a mile. And then with some kind of gun, as his head was about... As his entire body was about to go back up...
Oh, I remember the one you mean, yeah.
He shot into the cement and stabilised himself. Thereby getting from top to bottom almost as quickly as free falling, but without the mess at the end. Great. So there'd be something like that at the beginning, or Roger Moore would be skiing away and he'd leap off Switzerland, and he'd fall and fall and fall, and he'd be, oh no, film's over, it's only just started. And then his parachute would open, and it'd be the Union Jack, and the theme music would come in, and oh right, we're off for a rollicking ride here. And then it would be the usual thing, some nut job, usually English, would be wanting to take over the world from his underground lair, and the whole thing, and there would be confusion in the middle, and you couldn't figure out who was doing what to whom and why, because the plot had seemed to have got lost in the mix, but you didn't really care, because it was amusing, and Roger Moore would be waggling his eyebrows, and... cracking jokes.
I loved all that.
He'd throw someone off a cliff and say, watch the step, you know, that sort of thing.
It's so predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
They should...
But that's what's good about it.
Yeah, but they should change it a bit, like... And,
well,
you know,
this one
have,
obviously has.
Yeah, but they should have, like, someone on the inside, you know, it should be, like, is it M?
Yes.
Who he works for?
Yeah, M.
Yeah, she should be
Samantha
trying
Bond.
To take over the world. It should be a
Samantha
bit different.
Samantha Bond still in this one?
Who?
Samantha Bond.
Who's that?
She plays M, doesn't she? Or no, no. Or Miss... No,
Moneypenny.
Moneypenny. Yes. Is she still in it?
Between the two of you, you know absolutely nothing about James Bond, do you?
That's very cruel.
No, M is, what's her name?
Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then at the end, they'd be in that gigantic hangar, the Bond set, which, like I said last night, would be either full of water or not, depending on which movie it was in. Like, it was odds or evens. And everyone would be shooting 1,000 bullets a second at James Bond, none of which would actually get anywhere near him. And he'd be karate chopping his way to the guy in the Nehru jacket, who he'd dispatch with aplomb right at the end. And then he'd... He'd get it on with the woman who was resisting his charms all the way through. Every single film was exactly the same. And so I thought, you know, in the last three, I thought, oh, I don't want to watch these anymore. This is just silly, I thought. And so it was with trepidation that I went to the new James Bond. But I had tickets, and it was right next door to where I was working, in London's Leicester Square. And so I thought, oh, yeah, all right, why not? And you know what? I was thinking about this quite a lot. He is, without question, Sean Connery included, the best James Bond there has ever been.
Wow.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. I bet Pierce Brosnan was choking on his porridge when he read the reviews, because he was asked to leave. Is that right?
Well, I think they thought he'd done enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And if he is anything like me, you'd want your replacement to fail miserably. Yes, because yeah. In show business, let's face it, everyone hates everyone else. Because the only way you get ahead is if someone else gets fired. And the only way in which you'd genuinely wish someone good luck is if they had 3 weeks to live. And so he would... If I was Pierce Brosnan, I'd be reading the review, rushing to the papers to read the reviews, because you'd have been... I would have been... heartened by the bad press that he got before anybody had even seen it. I would have been chuckling to myself. These people hate him. He hasn't even haven't even seen him on the screen yet. And so he'd rush to the reviews, and I'd cough up my morning grapefruit reading those because they love him. Everyone should go and see it. I'm going to go and see it again. It's great. That was much of an advert, really, wasn't it?
Yes.
This is LBC. The Hulk
Abbott. Arrived not a moment too soon.
When do we start?
Tonight.
Good. I'd like to get in, get on with it, get it over with, and get out. Get it?
Got it.
Good.
Hey, Maggie. Maggie.
Oh, hi, Nick.
You sound like you're talking in a well, Maggie.
I'm in the bog, actually.
Maggie, put the lotion in the basket.
How did you know my name?
It's printed up there on the screen.
I didn't get it.
Haven't you talked to anyone yet?
No, they just had. I just could hear you talking all the time.
Maggie, have you not spoken to Luce?
No.
Oh, you come straight through on the air?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's odd, isn't it?
It's very strange.
Yeah. This James Bond, you can't remember. It's Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton is the right answer. And, right, and what was your impression? You didn't see any of them?
No, I don't like James Bond.
See?
Actually, I don't understand them. I get confused.
Well...
I used to love Roger Moore, and I remember queuing years ago.
You get confused. Well, it's easy. It's easy, Maggie. See, the good guy is the one with the bow tie on, and the bad guy is the one with the Nehru collar. Always.
I don't know. I used to enjoy Roger Moore, but I haven't seen Pierce Brosnan at all, and no. I like a bit of romance.
Of course. Yeah. That's the woman in you.
Yeah. Well, don't you?
Like a bit of romance. Mm. No. Any film that looks like it's, how shall I put it? Let's put it like the Americans do. A chick flick. You know, any film that's got a woman's name in the title,
yeah.
or the poster for it doesn't feature a gun, then in my mind I'm thinking...
Boring!
Yeah. I'd rather not.
Yeah.
But that's just blokes, you know, we like car chases and explosions.
Yes, well perhaps I will go and see this one. If he's as good as you say.
Right. Yeah, well, you won't like it.
Why?
Because it's a very masculine film, by which I mean lots of people die, and there's no warm edges to it, really. It's quite hard.
Oh, right. But you're going to go and see it again, are you?
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Mm.
I'll tell you not to see it, and I'll see it again.
And you can tell me about it.
And I've told you about it. But thereby, you see, the money aspect will remain the same. They'll get the same amount of money. It's not like I'm turning business away. So they'll come out evens, see?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might even go and see if it's that good. You're going to see it twice.
Righto. Mm.
Do you often go and see films twice?
No.
No, it's like reading a book twice.
When I was working in Leeds, and I was there for 6 months, working on a radio station up in Leeds, and I'd written, often there'd be absolutely nothing to do, mostly because, you know, I was in Leeds, and there would be a choice of sitting and staring out the window, looking at the rain, or going and seeing the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, gosh.
And to my shame, I saw it 4 times in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. That's how little there was to do in Leeds.
Yeah, and did you enjoy it?
Yeah, each time. Yeah, it's tremendous.
Oh. What about Lord of the Rings? Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one I don't fancy either.
Too much death?
Yeah, too dark.
Yeah, most of it's so dark you can hardly see it. Yeah, you need a torch.
Yeah. Well, okay, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Maggie.
Okay.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Where was she, by the way? Let's have Bracknell. Oh, Jethro.
Yeah, sorry to, I'm a bit of a sad man to probably sort of phone you up twice in one weekend.
I enjoy your calls.
Pardon?
I enjoy your, you know, conversing.
Well, I must admit, the appreciation is mutually returned.
Right.
Because I enjoy your, you're not a disc jockey, are you? Your radio presentation.
Well, I am. I'm half man, half biscuit. Half DJ, half talk show host. Yeah, depending on where you catch me.
Oh, right, fair enough. Well, I
do have another life outside here, you know.
You do, really?
Oh, yeah. I play...
Rock and roll!
Music.
Oh, right. What, to an old audience?
Well, we're not specific about who listens. You know, anyone can listen. But I better not say any more, because I'm not there now.
All right. You're not allowed to. Yeah, what I wanted to do, can I do sort of part two of Green Taxes, which we started on last night?
Green Taxes?
Yeah, because I once put the phone down, I had a moment of inspiration.
Right, you want to take a leaf out of Philip from South Norwood's book. Make a list. Got to write this stuff down. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, if they really want to restrict our use of carbon fuels and therefore nasty carbon emissions into the atmosphere, why can't they do that by either quotas on our purchasing, you know, volume, or which I think used to be called rationing?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
No.
Well, they don't have to control us by heavy punitive taxation. They could control us by saying, the same sort of thing that you said last night in terms of businesses, that you'll have you'll have carbon exchange vouchers, by saying, well, you're only allowed to buy sort of like 250 litres of fuel a year. So it's not...
But that would be deeply unfair to people who live in the countryside, who have to, travel 50 miles to their nearest post office.
Yeah, but it's going to be deeply unfair to them anyway, because they're going to... Because the cost... It'd be prohibitive by cost, not prohibitive by availability.
But people who live in the country are usually poorer than people who live in the towns.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. If you go back to the old Second World War situation with rationing, that everyone gets an allowance.
Right.
It's a limited allowance, so it's not rationed according to your. It's not available according to how much money, how much DOS you got. It's just the fact that you have a right to a certain amount of petrol allowance, and therefore the tax revenue wouldn't be all going to Gordon Brown, who's probably going to spend it on
cheese,
whatever,
comics,
entertaining some head of state dignitary who's totally insignificant anyway.
Yeah, some really hot babe. Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. That's that over and done with.
Was that your moment of inspiration?
You weren't impressed, were you?
Not really, no. Well, I'm glad you called.
No, don't go, don't go! Please! I'm frightened now. Well, David Niven, Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah, well, everybody ignores that one. It's not proper James Bond film.
Oh, English Gentleman. You prefer the rough and tough guy, with he's got a walk of PPK hidden in his trousers.
Listen, the basic point about films is, if you go to the films these days, especially if you go out in the West End, the ticket is, what, £86 each, and then a popcorn is another 30 on top, and getting there and back is £125 in a cab, and basically it's a £3,000 night out.
Yep.
And this is why I won't go and see the Borat film until it comes out on DVD.
Right.
Because it looks like a TV programme on which they've spent about £5. I mean, it may be the funniest film ever made. I will suspend...
I think the Americans must think so, because it's made millions in America. I mean, the guys must be... I don't think it's going to be for want, you know, he's not going to be on the soup queue this weekend, is he?
Well, believe me, America is not turning out en masse to see Borat.
No, it's the most popular film this weekend in America.
I very much doubt that.
Oh, it's beating the Disney film.
No, here, not in America.
Oh, is it here?
You half heard the news. No, here it's the most popular film, not in America.
I'm misinformed.
Yes, they downsized the amount of cinemas they were opening it at in America. I think they got carried away with themselves and then thought, oh, wait a minute, hang on, this is British. We won't open it in 3,000 screens. We'll just open it in a couple of hundred. So, yeah, it won't do too well in America. But that's not his target market, because I think he's ripping the, out of America.
They don't understand the irony. Is that what it is? I've heard that thing.
Well, that's just so silly. I mean, look at Frasier, one of the greatest sitcoms that's ever been on TV. Certainly funnier than most stuff that comes out of this country. It's
full of irony.
Yeah, painted with it, it is.
Okay. What about A Man Called Flint? Who did that? That was an American version of Bond, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the guy with the teeth.
George Peppard? No.
No.
He was an ex-Marine from the Second World War who got shot in the backside.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a real serving soldier. But he wasn't very successful, was it? A bit like...
Well, it was just daft. It was just very, very silly. It was... what was his name?
Blonde
he had
hair.
Giant teeth.
As in massive.
Yes.
It's a bit like the Americans constructing the monkeys because the Beatles were so... We were so famous worldwide that they had to produce an American version commercially.
Yeah.
With Mickey Dolenz from Circus Boy. Do you remember him?
Well, everybody would agree that the Monkees produced much better music than the Beatles.
What?
I don't know, I don't. They had a few that were really, really good, like Daydream Believer and Last Train to...
Clarksville,
yeah.
And we're there.
And Davy Jones was very, very handsome as a young man.
Which one's that?
But I don't think creatively they were as good as the Beatles.
Well, of course not. That was a silly thing to say. I was being foolish.
Sardonic.
So, yeah, all right. I'll go with that.
I just have one last go?
Oh, and another thing.
Yes. Saddam Hussein, really interesting in his court when he's pronounced the execution sentence, that he sort of said that he was a symbolic representation of the Iraqi people and they wouldn't put up with it. And you think, well, he wasn't that nice to them when he was in power, was he? And the second thing, you know, which is a bit funny, the second thing was that he appealed to their Islamic sympathies, tendencies and adherence, but he was a member of the Socialist Ba'ath Secular Party, so isn't it funny how everyone thinks they've got God on their side when they're up against the wall, as it were?
What, funny as in...
Well, you could have that taken out, because... I can't. In the First World War, I can't work out whether.
Oh God, he's going back to the First World War now, Luce.
Was it James Coburn you were looking for?
James Coburn is the right answer. Here, listen, it's been an inspiration, Jethro, but I do have to go.
Okay, go.
Before he, takes us back to the Boer War, and we're eating powdered egg. Oh.
Ode to Nick Abbott. Well, let's get back to it.
You're trying to trip me up, aren't you? I'm going to have a list of all the ones that Alex plays. He plays the same ones over and over, and I know when they're going to end. But every time someone else comes in, they choose different ones that end differently, and I make a fool of myself. I should explain what's going on. Ian's not here, right? Where is he? Where is he now? Where has he gone now?
You asking me?
Oh, yeah, I'm asking you.
I don't know.
I'm asking. You're dancing.
Oh, don't get into that one. I always fail at that hurdle miserably.
You don't know. I thought you were his best mate. Aren't you chums?
Yeah, but he doesn't tell me what he's doing every single day. Are chums supposed to do that?
Dude, you're his producer. If he's not showing up, don't you know where he is?
Well, does Lucy know what you do on your days off?
Always.
If I wasn't showing up on a Saturday, you'd know. I'd tell you where I was going. As you tell me when you're going AWOL.
Yes, I do. It's normally to do with boring house stuff, but, you know.
Do you honestly don't know where he is?
I don't know what he's doing tonight. Maybe I'm just a bad chum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very uncaring of you, Christian.
Yeah. Maybe I'll send him a text later or something.
Well, I mean, is he on holiday, out of the country? Is he going to interview the cast of Lost again? Because when he went there, they weren't there. How did that go, by the way?
I think it went very, very well.
Right.
Yes. He was,
Did they tell him anything?
Nothing revealing.
Right.
I don't think they're allowed to.
Do they say that, you know, eventually something's going to happen in that TV programme?
It's going somewhere, but they don't know where.
Right.
Seems good.
Yeah, neither do the writers, I'm sure. No one's got any clue. They're just making it up as they go along. Right, so he's not here for tonight. My name's Nick Abbott. I normally do Saturday nights, and so I didn't actually go home. I just stayed here so as to avoid, you know, carbon emissions, and therefore do my bit to save the environment.
Your nice little sleeping bag that you had, orange.
I pitched a tent. Here's one in Gillingham. Hello, Dean.
All right, Nick, how you going, mate?
I'm all right.
Good. What's happened to Chris's American voice? How comes he's not American anymore?
I've no idea what that means. Chris?
Well, the other day he was talking American.
Oh, it's only because I've been watching lots of 24.
Oh, right.
And it's kind of rubbed off.
I don't know if the last caller give you the name, Timothy Dalton.
Cause Timothy Dalton, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the fella.
Yeah. And George Lazenby was before Sean Connery.
Yeah, that was on Her Majesty's Secret Service, right?
Yeah, that was the first sort of proper James Bond.
Which nobody liked.
No, I don't know why.
I think it was probably because it was a bit... I mean, I can't remember much about it, honestly, but I think they probably attempted to get away from that jokey, kind of sarky...
Yeah.
You know, and actually make it real, because the books aren't like that at all. The books are more like the movie that's about to come out.
Yeah. But I did like Roger Moore.
Yeah, but only because it was amusing. Roger Moore wasn't James Bond. I mean, James Bond, I can't remember the exact history as written, but he would be, you know, an army type, right?
Yeah.
A guy who would be able to, you know, fight people who were in the SAS, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like leaping and jumping and running and stabbing and killing and throttling and all that. And do we think that Sean Connery or Roger Moore or Pierce Brosnan could have done any of that?
No, I mean, personally, I thought Pierce Brosnan looked a bit too smarmy myself.
Yeah. None of them would have... I mean, they'd have all required stuntmen if they broke into a jog, wouldn't they?
Yeah. But I did like John Cleese as, you know, N...
Yeah, no, I'm glad that they got rid of that, too. It's not a comedy. It's supposed to be explosions and deaths. It's not a comedy show, you know. That was just all a bit silly. I'm glad they got rid of all that. They saved Bond, because I don't think people would have put up with that anymore. I think it would have just died a long, slow death. Fewer and fewer people would have gone and watched it, but this has reinvigorated the entire... And I can't wait to see the next one now. In fact, I can't wait to see this one again.
I mean, they've had to cut bits out of it, though, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah. Yeah, to satisfy the censors.
Oh, well, that's always the way. Always film too much and then chop it out.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a shame they should have given it a 15 certificate then, you know? Instead of, like, cutting out what is basically going to be the good bits.
What, the death parts? Like people's eyeballs popping out as he throttles them. That's the part that you like, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, there's a series called Faces of Death. I'll send it to you in the post, all right?
Yeah, lovely.
All right, cheers, Dean.
Cheers, Nick.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
This is LBC. Let's have, it's Mr. Lister.
Good evening, Nick.
Philip.
Interesting discussion tonight. Before I get on to my main point, Nick, Chris was talking earlier on and said that he got this National Lampoon box set.
Yes.
Has he got the Class Reunion on it?
Has he?
No.
Ah, only that is one of my favourites because it's got the most amazing rock song as its theme. It's called the National Lampoon Class Reunion, sung by a guy. Have you ever heard of a guy singer called U.S. Bonds?
Gary U.S. Bonds, yeah.
It is, if you ever get a chance to see it, the film's okay, but the theme song...
And when you say okay, you mean rubbish, don't you?
No, it's...
is that
it's
a yes?
It's a Mickey take on Carrie and that sort of thing.
Right, sounds
awful. But the theme song is a cracker, it really is.
Righto, I definitely won't be watching that.
Oh, just watch for the theme.
Yeah, not a chance.
Right, now to the main reason I called. I found something in a drawer.
I bet you did.
I found the Billboard Hot 100... from the weekend in October the 29th, 1966.
What, a list, you mean?
The top 10, the Billboard Top 100. Yes.
It's a list.
And it's interesting.
1963, eh?
66.
So yes. It would have been the Beatles, numbers 1, 2 and 3.
No. You've already mentioned, funny enough, you've already mentioned the song that was at number 2, Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees.
Right.
But some of the songs are still known today. The number 1, well, I've heard of it, but I don't know whether you have. We'll get to that in a minute.
Give me the title only and I'll get the artist. I bet I will. 96 Tears.
Yeah.
By somebody in the Mysterons.
Mysterons, yeah.
The Mysterons.
Yeah, Mysterians or Mysterians. Yeah. What was the first name?
Oh, 96 Tears by Philip.
Yes. It was only in for 1 week.
Give me the first name.
Well, I can't because it's not a name.
Huh?
It's not a name. It's something you see on a computer pad. You know, it's one of the things on a computer.
Oh, question mark and the Mysterial.
Yes.
What is it?
Question mark and the Mysterians, 96 Tears.
The Mysterians.
Yeah.
Mysterians.
Yeah, well, Mysterians.
Question mark and the Mysterians.
Yes. Good song, actually. Not bad.
So I'm gonna say that I got that one right.
Oh, yes. Won a prize. Some of the songs, I mean, as I say, have gone into the mist of time.
Right, okay. But title only, please.
I picked out the ones that you will know. At number 76, Stop, Stop, Stop by the Hollies.
Right.
You know that one?
No.
68, You Keep Me Hanging On by the Supremes. Yes?
Give me the top 10 and I'll tell you what the artists are.
Right, okay.
What will I get as some... Because you've got no end of, you know, rubbish in your cupboards. Send me something if I get them all right.
I'll find... Funny enough, I wish I'd known you were going to mention Pierce Brosnan, because I've got a CD of the songs he sings in the film he made called Evelyn. You ever seen
that? He sings?
Yeah, he's a good singer.
Oh, no wonder he was rubbish as James Bond.
Now, that is a good film, Evelyn. Number 10 is C.C. Rider by who?
Yeah, C.C. Rider by, is it?
English guy.
Alexis Corner?
No, English guy, no.
Well, English, Alexis Corner was English. C.C.
Yeah.
Rider?
Yeah.
By, Struth. I should know all this.
I'll give you a clue. You find his group in a zoo.
Any help in there? C.C. Rider.
Yeah. Before my time.
In a zoo.
Yeah. He spent some time in a house of ill repute.
What, in real life?
No, as a song.
Give me the first letter.
Eric.
Eric.
Sorry.
Is Eric the first letter?
No, Eric's the first name.
Eric is the Animals,
yeah,
right?
Eric Burden and the Animals. C.C. Rider
right,
at number 10.
I definitely got that one right.
You'll get the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen your mother, baby, standing in the shadow?
See, I was only 3, so this is just, like, way distant memories for me. Have you seen your mother?
I bet you know this group. They're English.
I'm awful at this game. Fortunately, I've got them all right.
He's an old man, and he's still singing. And the group's still singing as well.
No, Cliff didn't make it in the States.
No.
They had, I think they stopped him coming in.
Do you want another, I'm trying to think of another clue.
Go on,
don't have a nervous breakdown. There we are. That's a clue. Oh, Nick. do you want me to tell you? What you do, though, surely.
What's the first letter?
R.
R.
Yes. Oh. I'm trying to think of another song that I can give you a clue of.
Go on, tell me.
The Rolling Stones. Have you seen your mother, baby, standing
Did
in
Did you
the...
say that they could find them in the zoo? Oh, no, that was
that
the
was
previous
the
one. You see, I'm not even paying attention
to
the extent where I'm fixing the clues to the questions.
You won't get this one.
I bet I will.
Number 8, Hooray for Hazel.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to get that one.
Tommy Rowe. Right, here's one you will get. Everybody knows this one. What Becomes of the Brokenhearted?
Yes. I could sing it for you.
Yeah, I know, so could I.
Please don't.
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't want to get cut off.
What Becomes of the Brokenhearted by...
Jimmy Ruffin.
Yes, Jimmy Ruffin. Yeah, I knew that. So far, it's a 100% success rate.
Well, the next one is number six, Dandy, by another British group.
Dandy?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me.
Herman's Hermit.
Oh, boring.
This is, I think, a cover version. Walk Away Renee by the American group.
Yeah, so I can sing this for you as well.
Yeah, so can I.
I wish I hadn't started this competition, because I'm rubbish with memory. I haven't got any memory left.
Ah, well, the answer is it's a group called The Left Bank.
Yeah, I would never have got that. Walk Away Renee by The Left Bank.
Walk Away Renee by The Left Bank.
Well, that was a hit for somebody else. Like
in this day, they had the same song, you know, by other people as well, you know. Mm-hmm. Right.
And finally.
Number four, Poor Side of Town by a guy called Johnny Rivers.
Right, never
heard Johnny Rivers had a big hit in America. Do you remember a TV series called Danger Man with Patrick McGowan?
Yes.
Well, in America, they changed it to Secret Agent Man. And Johnny Rivers recorded a theme song, and it's regarded as a classic.
How can you remember all this stuff, Philip?
Well, it's a TV theme. I'm very, very interested in TV themes. I'm a big fan of Mike Post. I've got, you know, all the themes he's done. I think he's a terrific composer.
No, but you remember just no end of stuff. Where does your memory come from? I'm 46. I can't remember yesterday.
Well, I mean, as we said, I think we said before, Nick, I used to listen to Radio Luxembourg in the early days when Pete Murray was on there.
Oh, Radio Luxembourg. Yeah.
Also, can I just, before we go to number three... regarding
more.
James Bond, there was an LBC presenter who played James Bond.
Rubbish.
Oh, it's true. On the radio in South Africa, Bob Holness.
James Bond?
Yes, it's true. He's spoken about it many times. He used to do radio work on the South African Broadcasting Corporation.
Can I have an M, please, Bob?
Yeah, and he played James Bond in a special play they did about... You know, James Bond.
See, I mean, how on earth can, with all the other stuff that you have to remember, you know, like where are the tea bags and, you know...
I don't know how I do it.
How can you keep all this stuff in your mind, Philip?
No, really, you know, I don't understand it myself sometimes.
All right, lastly...
Number three, Reach Out, I'll Be There.
Yes, by the Supes.
By the Four Tops.
Like I said.
Yeah, the Four Tops. Can I mention just one other song?
What do I get, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll do you another tape if I can find it of outtakes.
Well, that's very kind of you, but, I won't be able to use them on the air, but,
oh, no.
But
anyway, I'll
anyway.
Find something.
Rightio.
Just one other quick thing, Nick.
Yes.
Number 66 is Winchester Cathedral by the new Vaudeville Band.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah.
Have you ever heard the version by Frank Sinatra?
No.
It's dreadful.
Huh.
I mean, you got.
Can't say that kind of thing, Philip. If he was still alive, we'd wake up with a horse's head in your bed.
I must admit, I thought he was a fantastic actor.
Frankie?
Have you seen him in The Manchurian Candidate?
Probably.
The original one.
Forgotten. You know, I get movies out on DVD,
yeah.
And I'll watch them all the way to the end, and then at the end, literally at the last minute or so, I'll think... I've seen this before. I'll guess the surprise ending just before it happens.
Yeah.
Not having realised that I've seen the entire movie before.
What you want to do, Nick, is get a bit of paper.
I need to...
You know, so you don't get the same film twice.
I need to eat more oily fish or something.
What's the last film you rented?
Well, I'm on a subscription service, so they just keep coming through the post. On and on and on they come.
Yeah, yeah. What sort of films are you into?
You see, you make a list of about 100 movies that you want to see from the list of a million that they've got. And so what I do is I choose all the movies that I would never choose if I went to a video store. You know, lots of things from Japan and Germany and French films and all of this sort of thing. And then they pour through the door in a random way.
Yes.
And so you don't get to choose. You're forced to watch interesting things.
Well, they send you the films that they think, you know, that...
They just send them, you know, as they come in. They come to hand.
Yeah. Do you go into the stores and buy you know, a DVD?
I used to. I've got hundreds of DVDs at home.
Yeah.
And thousands of pounds worth I've spent on them.
Yeah.
And you only ever watch them once, so they're just sitting there taking up space.
I've got certain films that I will watch again. I'll tell you what, I bought a bargain the other week. I bought a copy of a Russell Crowe film from 1991... called Love in Limbo.
Yeah, I don't want to watch Russell Crowe anymore because I think he's a...
This was made...
Bleep hole.
Th- This was made, it is before he became well known, in Australia.
Well, I'll tell you what, Philip, why don't you save that for the next call, all right?
I will do. All the best, Nick.
Cheers, mate. He is great, isn't he? And, you know, when time's up, he's gone, like you switch off a light. This is LBC.
I took...
London's LBC 97.3.
0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
Hi, honey, how are you?
Hey, Marie.
Hi.
Putney.
That's right.
Very nice.
Well, Nick, I just wanted to say to you that that's the kind of thing my mum does, get nearly to the end of the movie and then find that she's actually seen it before. It's a sign of old age.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I thought you'd find that comforting. So I see that you...
It's all downhill from here, eh?
That's right. Next stop, well, I don't know, the old people's home?
Yeah, the home, yeah.
Yeah. So I understand you've been to see Casino Royale, then?
Yes, I have.
Well, I'm much jealous. Where do you see that, then?
I saw it in the Odeon Leicester Square, no less.
Mmm.
Which
so
is,
Special view.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
What is it, the premiere next, Tuesday?
I suppose so. It must be coming up shortly.
Yeah, it is. No, it's next Tuesday.
Right. It was a very strange thing.
It's going to be a royal one.
Huh?
It's going to be a royal one. Her Majesty's going.
Oh, she won't like it.
Oh, she might.
She'll go in the front, then slip out the side.
Yeah, probably.
Ew, she'll say.
Yeah, she'll say, need a G&T.
Yes. You can't take your drinks in, Mom.
No.
And the rake is no good in that cinema. So if there's anybody above 5 foot tall in front of you, you having spent £800 on your tickets, you can't...
How much they be, Nick?
You know, you go to the Odeon Leicester Square, isn't it? £800 a ticket.
Well, it's £17.50 ordinary going in.
Isn't that incredible? £17.50.
Yeah, £17.50, definitely. I just wondered how much they were, because it's in aid of the benevolence fund, I think.
All right. No, I just mean generally. You know, generally you go to that cinema. Is it really?
£17.50? Yeah, I think
I can't believe it.
It'll probably be exceptionally expensive.
Well, you won't be able to get them, will they? They're giving them away, not selling them.
Well, no. They did sell a few to the public.
All right.
But you have to be a member of the benevolent fund to get them.
You certainly put me straight.
Yeah, no, you could get a few, but they were very, very limited and they were sold out very, very quickly.
But you know what? The cinema that's just around from me that costs £5 to get in is much better because the rake is...
It costs £5. It's £7 down my one. It's not.
Well, you want to go during the afternoon, Marie?
No, it's £7. I think that is the afternoon.
Well, that's your fault for living in Putney, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's not very posh here,
you
know? Where
joking?
Do you live, then? It's not very posh here.
I'm not telling you where I live.
No, I meant area.
Well,
like
I'm
North
not,
London,
I'm not
South
even
London.
Telling you that. I used to live in Tufnell Park.
Yeah, well, I'm not that interested.
Anywhere's posh after that.
Anyway, tell me, what's Daniel like in this movie?
He looks like someone who could deal death without thinking about it, which is exactly what you want from a James Bond. Yeah,
well, I stood next to him and he put his arm around me for a photo.
How tall is he?
He's about 5'11", I would say, because I'm only 5'3". I'm a short, you know.
He
seemed tall to me.
Right, because I read in a newspaper yesterday, and I think I must have misread it. He said that he was 5'6". Now, either I misread it or he was
not
joking, because
six,
I read subsequently that he's 6 foot.
No, he's about 5'11", I would say, but
well, like,
anything looks
about 5'11?
Yeah, about 5'11.
So, give or take an inch, that's what?
Well, you know,
I
took him in well, Nick. I really did. I sized him up, assessed him, and thought I probably will get this opportunity again, so I'm taking it all in.
A sly squeeze?
He's very nice. He's very, very nice, but he's a good actor too, and he was exceptionally nice as well. You know, he was just charming.
And how was he the next day?
How you won it, really. Hmm?
And how was he the next day?
If only. No, this was 3 years ago. So I thought to myself, I'll nab my opportunity now. It's at the premiere of Love Actually. And actually, I was going to the premiere. So I was inside. And so after he finished talking to the press about all the movies he was doing at the time, like Sylvia and stuff like that.
You took all of your clothes off and threw yourself on him.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't give him a moment to think. I just said, how about signing these for me and how about a photo as well?
How about signing these for me?
Yeah,
is
exactly,
that what you said?
Both of these, yeah, as well. Yeah, and you know, he was extremely obliging. It's amazing.
Right, here we go. Daniel Craig biography. 11th of November, 1968. That's when he was born. He's 8 years younger than me.
Blue eyes.
Yep. Chester in England. He's 6 foot tall.
Okay.
There you are, you see?
Yeah, I was close. He looked tall to me. Anything looks tall to me.
He was big enough, right?
He was big enough and hunky enough.
Well, he's beefed up for this movie. He's huge.
Yeah, we need him to look nice and big.
He looks like he's just he looks like a member of the SAS, like he's just come out of the army.
That's
like you would not
exactly
want to spill his pint, which
exactly.
is just what you want from your James Bond, right?
Exactly what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks slightly dangerous. Somebody said to me, he looks a bit psychotic. I said, yeah, he probably would after just coming out of the SAS.
Well, he kills people for a living.
Exactly.
He must be psycho, yeah.
That's how he needs to look. He needs to be a bit dangerous.
Exactly.
He's a good actor, anyway.
Yeah.
So
you're
I
breathless
really
with anticipation, aren't you, Marie? You can't wait.
No, I can't wait. I actually can't wait. I've got tickets booked already.
You're going to hide yourself in the Queen's dress and shuffle in.
Yeah, you know, I try anything, but somehow I think they might spot me.
Maybe,
but that night, they're doing the premiere across the three cinemas, and they're doing kind of, so after it's finished, the main premiere's finished there, they're then doing the first public screening at 11:30, and they're also doing simultaneous screenings, I understand, at the Odeon West End as well, so it's going to be the biggest event ever.
I think
and
this
the red carpet's going to link all the three cinemas.
Is that right? There was something big going on in Leicester Square this afternoon where I came out, there were flamethrowers.
Oh yeah, that's the premiere of, I think it's a movie called, now what did they say, it's the one about the magicians. It's got Hugh Jackman and, loads of stars in it, actually.
But there were people screaming and peering over...
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what it's called. Is it Prestige or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of it actually looks quite good. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Well, there's no end of things to do, eh?
Absolutely. So what do you give this out of 10, then, Nick?
I'll give it, well, when I came out, I thought, well, that's about an 8. But thinking about it, just because it's James Bond, I'm going to give it a 10. I'm thinking that I'll steal someone else's gag here. I'm thinking that you, Marie, would give him out of 10.
Well, I'd give him a 10 out of 10.
You'd give him 1.
I'd give him a 10 out of 10, definitely. Yeah.
One of my favourite jokes. Thanks for that, Chris.
All right,
cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. I'm
right,
so
mate.
Sorry. Ta-ra, mate. All right.
Yeah,
ta-ra. Are we going for a break now? All right, we'll come back. It's, Hull. Hello, Kieran. Oh, Kieran. Now, if it's red and there's nothing there, does that mean he's gone? Does it disappear off the screen if...
No, he should be there, but he's obviously... Right. It sounds like he's disappeared.
Okay. Harrow. Vicky, Harrow.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh.
Super, thanks for asking.
I've been dying to talk to you.
Really?
I think you're superb.
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
You are. You're brilliant.
Oh, I'm a genius, I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You know, I look forward to listening to you. I usually go to bed and lay and listen
to you.
You
think you're calling Ian, don't you? He's not here.
No, I don't speak to Ian.
Well, that's not very nice.
No way. I think he should be thrown out the programme.
Oh, come off it. That's completely...
No,
Ian does a fantastic job.
No, I take that back.
There
it's a bit cruel, but
very
he is
cruel,
a bit bit rude.
Why don't you call him up when he's on and tell him that? He'll cut you off at the
knees.
Well,
I'm calling you.
All right.
I think you are lovely.
I am lovely.
And I'm going to bed in a minute, and I'm going to listen to you till 1 o'clock.
Lovely like a little dog. I'm a genius like Einstein, and you can pet me too. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing I can say about you, is there?
No.
You are lovely, though. I love listening to you. And your... Is it producer, the lady?
Oh, the lady, yeah.
She's lovely.
The lady. Hey,
yeah,
lady.
She is a lady.
I was... This isn't going to...
You're not going to say she's not a lady.
No, she is a lady.
Yeah, she is.
When I was in hospital, you remember I had a near-death incident?
I remember, but only after you told me.
I wonder if I should say this, because it was about another patient who was there. When you go in with a heart incident, you're surrounded by people who are 186 years old.
You're joking.
No, everyone in there was about 1,000. They looked like they'd been mummified. It was awful. There was a woman across the bed from me. She must have been... Oh,
across the bed from you?
Yes, she from the Paleolithic era, I think.
What were you doing in the ward with a woman?
Oh, it was a high-intensity
ward.
Well, yeah, everyone was near death. Nobody cared whether the person next to you was male or female. That sex was not on the equation. But, all night long, she'd be, oh, the lady, where's the lady? All night long. But if you had to really be there. I mean, she'd say, oh, I'm thirsty. Where's the lady? The lady. And the nurses would completely ignore her. She said, I need orange juice. Orange juice, lady. Quicker, lady.
Are you all right,
yeah.
Nick?
Am I all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right. No. Here, Lucy, can I have a cup of tea?
Sure.
Quicker, lady.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just wanted to say...
Yes,
Vicky. I love listening to you.
I love listening to you.
And I think you've got a lovely voice.
Think you've got a lovely voice.
No, I haven't. And I'll be
all right,
listening
then.
To you in about 5 minutes.
Cheers, Vicky.
All right, have a nice night. On FM.
London's LBC
97.3. Yeah.
0870
9090 973.
Nick Abbott.
Come on, we're running
late! You just can't help thinking when you hear George Bush speak. I don't know, every time I think... He just sounds like such a... dope. How has that man got so far? I mean, seriously, it's just beyond the realms of comprehension, isn't it? He just sounds like he's got no idea what he's saying. I mean, every word sounds like it could be his last, and his brain could just seize up. It's just incredible. That man is the leader of the free world. You sound like an idiot, George.
Absolutely.
You can put this music up louder. I like to hear this all the way up. I'll just shout over it. Like a DJ. Hey! Particularly this part. Nyah. Hey! See? Isn't it better? It's like you feel more alive when it's up loud. You have to play it loud. Arsene Wenger was funny today. What's wrong with him? It ends very suddenly, doesn't it? Never mind. Did you see that? Arsene Wenger and Alan Pardew. Was it Alan Pardew?
I missed that today. A bit of a bust-up, wasn't it?
Well, it was the archetypal handbags at 10 places. Alan Pardew... Have I got that right? Alan Pardew? I was half listening to the news.
Hmm.
You know who Arsene Wenger is, because he's all over the news all the time. Alan Pardew, I think that's the guy's name, West Ham. This demonstrates vividly my extensive knowledge of football. Well, it's not Talk Sport, it's LBC.
Don't look to me for help on football.
No, don't believe me. I won't. But, the West Ham manager was celebrating a bit because he got a goal, you know, quite right too. What's wrong with that? And then Arsene Wenger went ballistic, like, I don't know, like some child in the playground. It was hilarious. What's wrong with him? And he'll go to the press conference and he'll say something like, oh, yes, well, of course.
That's very good.
Really? Nothing yeah. like him.
We haven't had the accents for a while.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh... Is there sugar in that?
There is. I don't know if I stirred it. Can you taste it? No.
No, I can't.
The trouble is, there was only one spoon.
Yes.
And Christian had coffee. And I thought, once I've stirred the coffee sugar, then your tea, you wouldn't want that to taste a bit of coffee, would you?
Oh, come on. It's not cyanide.
Yeah.
A couple of molecules of coffee is not going to make any difference.
No, but for me, you see, if I taste a bit of coffee in a cup of tea, I can't drink it.
Oh.
But the thing is, you can't... There's no point in putting sugar in if you're not going to stir it.
Yeah.
Well, I stirred yours, but then I realised, of course, I'd already stuck the spoon in, by which time, too late.
Can I have it stirred, please?
Would you like it stirred with a coffee spoon?
Yes, please.
Okay.
You could swirl the spoon.
Okay.
Quicker, lady. Here's Hull again. Kieran.
Nick, hi. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Smashing, smashing.
Super.
Now, not to alarm you, I am naked.
Oh, good.
Because I'm sitting in the comfort of my room in my shared house up here in Hull. Now, I've been having a debate with my housemate.
Why did you tell me that?
Just in case you
was curious.
Naked.
Yeah.
Just in case you heard my nakedness.
Just in case I had a query?
A query, yeah. Now, my housemates, they are having an argument. I'm saying...
He's trying to stir it a little bit more loose.
Oh.
Go on, do it vigorously. Make a noise while you're doing it.
There yeah. You
go. And now tap it.
Stirring.
Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely, that. Okay.
Lovely cup of tea. Yeah, sorry, back
smashing,
with you.
Smashing, good, good. Right. My housemate's saying...
Are you still nude?
Well, yeah.
Well, keep us updated, you know.
Yeah, well, of course. Can I just finish this?
Oh, please do, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. They're out there saying every lick of a dog's tongue is antiseptic, and I'm saying it's every fourth lick. What do you make of that?
Here's one in Wandsworth. Hello, Peter.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Lucy's very formal tonight. Christian. I thought his name was Chris.
Yeah, so did I. She was
called
Christian.
Hello, Mr. Christian. How are you? I'm out there.
Very well.
Anyway, I've got some good news, but I'm not quite sure how long.
Break out the rum and the lash. We'll think about the other one later. Yes?
Your Bible man has not been in Piccadilly for a week now.
I saw him just the other day, and I wanted to call the authorities to taser him and beat him to the ground.
He wasn't there the day before or the day before.
But I didn't think they'd do anything about it.
Oh, right.
Well, maybe there's been a divine intervention. What do you reckon?
I wouldn't think so. Anyway, the lady who says the Queen's going to the cinema on Tuesday, she's going to be very disappointed. She's cancelled all engagements and she's got sciatica on her back.
Oh, poor dear.
So she won't be bonding on Tuesday. However,
she won't like it anyway.
If anyone's around at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, Ian McKellen will be switching on the Regent Street lights, the first in London.
Oh, right.
That's happening on Tuesday night.
And then nipping over to Trafalgar Square to be the fairy in the tree.
I wouldn't dream of saying that, sir. Anyway,
I say that with
Lucy
love and
short
respect.
For Lucinda.
Pardon?
Is Lucy short for Lucinda?
I don't know. Let's ask her.
Not in my case, no.
Right.
Well, why don't we tonight have Lucinda and Christian? It sounds terribly posh.
Doesn't it just? And so do you, mate.
I'm not really.
Do you actually speak like this?
I do indeed, yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately?
Yes.
Well, it must get you, people must pay attention to you on the phone, because you sound like a man of means.
Yeah, well, that's the unfortunate bit about it, so everybody thinks, I'm very rich and, got lots of dosh, and I'm sure I haven't. I live in a wooden shed on Wandsworth Common.
You do not.
I do.
You live in a wooden shed on Wandsworth Common?
I do indeed, yes.
Of course, that's,
with a hot tub.
That's prime real estate down there. It must cost about £5 million, that shed.
If only. Anyway, I enjoy living in London. When I first came to London, you see, I used to talk like this. And then I went to a place called Rada. Now I talk like this.
Right. Well, that obviously made a heck of a difference.
Probably.
Do you actually... You're joking, right? You don't live in a shack on Wandsworth Common.
Well, no, I live in a house.
A house?
It could be a shack.
Next to Wandsworth Common.
Yeah,
like I said, this guy's a millionaire.
I'm a what?
You must be loaded, mate.
No, I'm not loaded, but I feel very guilty, actually. I live in what's called a Barrett house, which I've been in for 14 years, and I paid £72,000 for. The same house is now selling for £325,000.
A house next to Wandsworth Common is only £325,000. You can't get a parking space next to Wandsworth Common for that.
It's only got a two-bedroom.
Right. Well, you want to knock it down and build a block of flats, and by this time next year, you'll be a millionaire.
Anyway, I heard you referred to it in a very strange way. I think it's something of an anagram. I was asked today if I ever heard the Radio Monk. And I got a clue they were talking about. It's a play on words, Nick Abbott. And someone referred to you as the Radio Monk.
Right. Well, as long as they didn't say, refer to me as a Nicholas Abbott.
This is true. Anyway, good night to Lucinda and good night to Christian.
And good night to you.
Everybody in London, keep listening to Nick Abbott. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. This is LBC. Oh, talk about polite. Everyone's being so nice. Let's see if it all goes downhill from here. South Derbyshire, it's Aid Who Can Get Laid.
Hello, Nick. How is one doing?
I'm just enjoying an cup of tea at the moment.
I'm having a cup of coffee, but I probably shouldn't drink that.
Oh, lovely cup of tea, Luce. I'll come in there and give you a hug.
Don't touch me! I'll kill you!
Is it better for the stirring?
Yes.
Yeah, Nick, you were talking about DVDs that you never watch.
I've got
hundreds. I bet, you know, you probably...
We could do swapsies.
Sorry?
We could do swapsies.
Swapsies. Have you heard of, most minor TV series, have you heard of a TV series called Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer?
Yeah, it was an 80s half-hour cop thing. It was like a sitcom.
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's quite good, but,
Well, that's that conversation done and dusted.
Yeah, we're having bets of you'd heard of it. No, I didn't think you'd have heard of that, but obviously you haven't, so...
So what have you been up to lately then, Aid? You've come without any material.
With any material? I've always got material.
All right, then, go on.
What's that? What about this woman then? It's, about this woman that some ice nearly hit her.
Was a what?
In a car. She was driving a car, and the ice, an ice, it must have fell out of an aeroplane. It nearly hit her.
Ice?
Yeah.
What now? What would that be? Let me try and get this out. I'm very tired. I've been working a lot lately. Like, this weekend alone, I've been on the air for 86 hours. Can you believe it?
Well, at least, you can have a rest off this night.
No, I can't. I'm on the early shift tomorrow. I'll get about 3 hours sleep, and I've got to go in with a rush hour tomorrow and go and play loud... Where is it?
Rock and roll!
Tomorrow.
You're rolling it.
Yeah, right. That's it. I'm rolling in it, yeah. I'm not working for Radio 2, mate. No, what were we saying?
I forgot what we were saying.
You've got to make a list.
Oh, yeah, the,
It's like you've arrived at a party without any wine aid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm very tired too, but, you know, I'll struggle on. some ice nearly at this woman's car.
Oh, yeah, ice. Now, what would have constituted that ice, then? What would that be made of?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But do you know what she did with it, like, for evidence? She picked it up, put it to the boot, drove it home, put it in the freezer.
She put it in the boot.
But she put it in the fridge freezer. It's probably next to the fish fingers.
Yeah, lovely. Evidence? Well, what's she going to do with it? Evidence.
She's going to take it to the police.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're supposed to work that out over... I suppose you'd have the occasional accident, don't you? It's supposed to come out over the sea or something.
Is it? Well, they don't expel it from aeroplanes, surely.
I always thought they'd dropped it. I might be wrong.
No, I think they... it's like a caravan. You get a man with a sucky tube to stick it into the side of a plane and extrude it, I'm sure, at the airport. They don't just throw it overboard. It could be anybody underneath. That would be awful.
Ship, that would make news, wouldn't it? If it hits a ship, it gets a damn insane off the news, isn't it?
I missed that bit.
I'll tell you, if one fell out and hits a ship, it gets a damn insane off the news.
Yeah, I suppose it would. Yeah.
Oh, that has been painful all day. Every time I've, been at work, you're stuck with Sky News. Every time you're there, that's all that's been on about.
Well, yeah, but imagine what it must be like to be on Sky News with the same stories over and over and over again, and you have to look like you're interested, and you're saying it for the very first time, because people only tune in for like 15 minutes, and who really cares about Saddam Hussein? Can't we just get to the part where we kill him?
Yeah, I bet you it turns up on YouTube.
Yes. It probably will. There's something to look forward to.
It's not too upset.
All right, listen, thanks a lot, Aid. Next time, make notes, all right?
I've got something else.
Okay, go on then.
Quickly. You know that Louise from Barnsley?
Yes.
Do you think you can pull good word in?
Do I think what?
You can pull good word in. It sounds quite nice.
That's the thing with voices on the radio. They always sound nice, and you think...
Yeah, but there's no secret, like I said in the week, there's no secrets anybody on the radio anymore, because the internet, it's spoilt the romance, doesn't it?
Well, because there's the picture right there on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good thing, too, because if you get, hooked on a radio host, then it's best to be disabused of any notion that they're, really as hot as they sound straight away. To save time and, brain ache later on.
Unfortunately, that means everybody can see me as well, which is a big mistake.
Oh, well. I sympathise with you, Aid. Anyway, I've got to go, all right?
Yeah, okay.
Cheers, mate. Ta-da.
See ya.
Right, what have we found out? Wastewater.
I'm trying to find out
is either drained into the toilet tanks or expelled through heated drain masts. Well, do they just chuck it out?
Yeah,
of a
I'm
plane?
Sure they do chuck it out, you know.
That's awful.
Mm.
Go up a bit.
As in up that way?
Yeah.
Or down a bit? Yeah. That's all the other bits, though.
Why is that awful, though?
Well, you can't just throw product.
But it freezes, doesn't it, instantly?
Well, that's not...
And then
that doesn't make it
droplets.
Any better if it hits you.
Well, it's landing on us all the time.
What?
It is. It is. Water's landing constantly.
Yeah, have you ever felt a drop when it's not raining? Just a tiny little drop on your face or something when you're walking down the street.
That's not it.
Isn't it?
No.
What's that then?
Well, it's a little droplet from space. God's tears. That's what that is.
Oh.
It's frozen urine. That's awful.
I think it does, you know.
No, that's absolutely ridiculous. I've never heard of the like in my life. Aeroplanes do not throw each other. When you flush the toilet on an aeroplane, it just doesn't disappear out the hole in the bottom.
There's a massive suctioner when you flush it, though, isn't there? It sounds like it's actually going out of the airplane. There's that massive suction noise.
Dude, there's no way that it opens up a hole, because you'd be sucked out with it. I'm working with imbeciles. No, they store it in a tank and then they suck it out later. Unless you're on one of those, discount airlines, in which case you're required to fill a bottle.
You think they keep all the waste
on board? Fill a bottle and throw it out the window. Yeah, of course they do. How could they just throw it out? That's ridiculous.
It's a lot of waste from a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a big plane with big tanks.
I mean, I would rather think that they did keep it on board. That would be a lot more preferable. But maybe when they were overseas, they could just, toodle-oo.
Expel it. But there's people boating on the sea.
True. Yeah. That is true.
It's their own fault.
You two have gone insane. Of course they don't just throw it out the plane.
Good. Well, that's good. Someone once told me that they did, so I feel a lot better now that they don't.
You crazy mixed-up chick. Are we taking a break now?
Yes.
I'll pass the break. All right.
Nick Abbott.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
There was a lovely story about a white deer. You're going to want to hear this, Luce. Oh, Lucy.
Sorry, I was just getting some very important plane information.
Plane information? Oh, yeah, go on then.
Well, I've got two conflicting stories at the moment.
Right, so no one knows.
But actually, I do think that Paul from Gatwick has confirmed to me. He said, come on, Lucy. He said, you've seen the lorries that pull up alongside the plane? He said, they're extracting all the waste.
Mm. So they extract the waste from one plane and then put it into the meal trays on the plane that's sitting.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this in Germany? A rare albino deer buck has been named White Bambi. And there's a picture of it there. Mm. A Bambi. Imagine Bambi.
Yes.
Right. All white. Oh.
It's very Christmassy.
It's lovely. There's a picture of it there, gambolling through the fields. Can you see that?
Yes.
It's just, look at that.
Has it got funny red eyes?
I don't know. It's this black and white picture. But just that looks so sweet.
It does.
The deer was wandering around with a herd of brown deer, so it just stands out like a white deer.
Mm. I'm surprised it hasn't been shot. It's an easy target, isn't it?
You just ruined my whole story.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh,
I'll put that away.
Oh, no.
Never mind. Did you see the Q Awards? I've been carrying that around for weeks. I was going to torture you with that, and you just totally ruined it.
Sorry. No, I didn't see the Q Awards.
The Q Awards. You know, Q Magazine, it's a rock magazine, right? It's supposedly a rock magazine for serious rock people. And they just had their awards. Is there a single awards ceremony that's not laugh-out-loud silly? Like, any of them? Can you think of any?
No.
Perhaps not including the Nobel Awards. They had the Ig Nobel Awards. Did you see that?
No.
This is about a couple of weeks ago now. All right, well, I'll tell you about that in a minute as well.
I promise not to ruin it.
Now, the Q Awards, right? The best act in the world today... They say Oasis.
Boring!
Have you ever seen Oasis live? It's like a bunch of guys, it's waiting for the bus. They're all in their parkas, zipped up to their necks, and they just stand around, and there's no act or show of any kind. They're just kind of doing that Armand Me thing. It's like watching a bunch of kids in the playground. Awful. But they've got best act in the world today... And best live act. What's the difference? They're the same.
Best live act.
And best act. It's the same, right?
Yeah. I would have thought so.
I think they just, they wanted to, extend the length of the procedure, so they, and there's just so many things that they can come up with, right? So they just started to, repeat themselves. Best live act was Muse, they said. Best new act, Corinne Bailey-Ray.
What?
Who's that?
Well, you know, put your records on. Da, 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 da.
Oh, that's it. Really da, irritating, da, da, that song. Da,
let your hair down or something.
That's da, when I was like...
Put your records on.
I've never even heard of her. Corinne Bailey-Ray. Is she popular? Corinne.
Yeah. She is popular. She's very young. She's had that one single that was very, very popular. Apparently the album's all right if you like that kind of thing.
I don't. Not the way you sung it, anyway.
Well, I wasn't singing.
Put your heart into it.
No, I feel silly. I don't think you'd like it at all.
Inspiration Award. The award for being the most inspiring musician or group, according to Sirius Rock magazine Q. Have a guess.
Male or female?
It's a band.
A band. Oh, is it going to be something like Razor Light?
No, it's A-ha.
Oh, no.
A-ha.
Oh, no.
A-ha.
Inspiring.
Yeah. Inspiration Award went to A-ha. Q magazine. Not Heat or Smash Hits or...
That's
A-ha.
Very bizarre.
What's that about?
I wouldn't have even thought A-ha would be on their radar.
Or even maybe. That they're still going.
Well, they recently did a new album, didn't they?
Icon Award. Now, am I right in thinking that the word icon means person or thing that represents the time in which they are popular?
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yes.
So Marilyn Monroe, the Mini, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Icon Award.
David Hasselhoff.
Jeff Lynn. That's most people's reaction. Like, what? Who? Jeff Lynn. He's a bearded boffin who ran the Electric Light Orchestra.
Would I know any of that music?
Yeah, a lot of it. But he's not an icon, and no one you wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup.
No.
See, this is the most awards. They're just so silly. Icon Jeff Lynn. I mean, who? What? Idol Award. I mean, they really were scratching the bottom of the barrel. The Idol Award. I mean, they must have sat around the pub. Oh, God, we've only got six awards.
What else can we have?
The whole ceremony is going to be over in about half an hour. We're going to have to pad it out. Idol Award.
Male or female?
Band.
A band again.
Take That.
Oh.
Really?
Take That.
What?
Q Magazine.
I can't believe that.
I am stunned.
But they're not even doing anything now. Well.
Classic song of all time, according to Q Magazine.
Angels.
Karma Chameleon.
Really? Well, I think that's, it's very bizarre, but interesting.
A-ha, Take That, Karma Chameleon. Hey, Q.
Are you very sure you're not homosexual? No.
LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
Prince Charles and, what's her name? What's her name?
Camilla Parker
Camilla Parker Bowles. That's right. They've always got more than two names. And, they were in, Pakistan. Did you see that?
Yes.
Wandering around in their whites.
I did see that, actually.
Nice? fending off presents. Gifts abounded for the Prince of Wales and the Duchess of Cornwall as they ended their tour of Pakistan against possibly the world's most spectacular mountain backdrop. And it did look lovely, but you can't go on holiday there unless you're out of your mind. In the Hunza Valley, the small village of... sorry about this, but this is what it's called, Altit. The Prince was given a yak.
Right.
Just wandering around... And somebody gave him a yak. Here's a yak. A huge, hairy, black and white yak weighing in at more than 300 pounds. That's probably not what a yak sounds like, is it?
Probably not.
What does a yak sound like?
Be more like, that would be closer to what a yak would sound like, right?
Or that poor deer.
He patted its nose enthusiastically, though the Duchess needed a little more encouragement to follow suit. In the erstwhile kingdom of Hunza, now part of Pakistan, the gift of a yak is the highest honour that can be bestowed on a VIP, in a tradition that dates back many centuries. Marvellous, he declared. Is it a male yak? Is it a male yak? Well, just bend down and have a look, mate. before he could start wondering how it would fit alongside his prize Ayrshires at his home farm in Gloucestershire, the Mir of Hunza, the last vestige of the region's royalty, explained that tradition dictated the VIP immediately return the gift to the village. He promptly did so to polite applause. So they gave him a present and then said, "Can I have my yak back?" What kind of a present's that?
Well, what was he going to do with it?
Shoot it like that poor white deer.
Oh dear.
This was the couple's first visit to the Islamic Republic. Asked for his reaction, the prince said, it's wonderful, particularly this part of the world. To get to this part is very special. I'm thrilled. His wife agreed and said, oh, that's not very nice, is it?
That wasn't very nice at all.
A little holiday for them. Well, I hope they had a nice time. I hope they didn't pay.
Don't worry, we will have done.
They're not used to that. Yes.
By the way, I had a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
This might mean something to you. From John. I like big snakes.
John who?
In Wales. He apparently used to speak to you years ago.
Right.
And it would mean something to you. Unless I've misheard that.
Apparently not. Maybe he's called the wrong show. Here's Barnsley. Oh, Louise.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, dear.
You started beating me to ask them that question.
I did what now?
You started beating me to ask that question, because I used to ask you how you are first.
Oh, wow.
Right, you know you've got lots of DVDs?
Yes.
Laying around. Well, why don't you just go to the cinema and watch all your films that you want to watch? Because that'll save you money. Because you only watch your DVDs once, don't you? You said.
Well, I used to buy them because it was saving money. I used to buy them from this place in Canada, so they'd arrive and you'd pay, well, I don't know, £7-10 or something for a DVD, whereas two tickets to go and see a movie would be £20 in the West End, and you wouldn't be, you know, interrupted with people grazing behind you on giant buckets of popcorn. That drives me out of my mind. Because for a start, popcorn smells like feet. And so the entire cinema just stinks of old socks.
Yeah.
And how hungry can you be watching a film? You know, you've just come from dinner. It's not like we're out in Ethiopia here. And people come with buckets of the thing. They're as big as they are in America now, which is absolutely gigantic, which means that you never get to the bottom of it. You spill the what's left on the floor, but you spend the 2.5 hours of the movie just eating and eating and eating. Yeah. And it's loud. They make a noise. I mean, they might as well actually have them wrapped in cellophane. They're just so noisy, popcorn.
Yeah, I've never understood why people do that, actually. Because when you're watching TV, you don't have a big tub of popcorn or sweet.
No, that's right. They just do it because it's there, because it's part of the thing of it.
Because you're £1 million.
Well, a bucket of Coke and a barrel of popcorn. It's I don't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's just part of the irritation. And people's phones always go off and,
there's always some chance at the back that decides to kick your chair throughout the cinema
And the tallest person in the world sits in front of you, so you can't see half the screen. So I just thought, I'm not going to the cinema anymore. And so I'll buy a DVD. In order to save money. But then you only watch them once, and then they sit in the cupboard and collect dust for the rest of your life. And you think, you know what, someday I will watch that. And then 10 years goes by and you don't. And that's going to happen for the next, that'll happen five times over. And you'll be dead and it'll still be there, having been watched once.
You should sell them on eBay.
Can you, is there actually any money in that? Selling movies on eBay?
I mean, there's so many of them. People want them.
Right.
I mean, I know there's been CDs and stuff like that, and tickets, so there's got to be something there.
I'll check it out, Louise.
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, that it?
You know the James Bond films as well?
Yeah.
I stopped watching them a long time ago because they confuse me. Because, like, one moment he'll be doing the really, like, random stunts, and the next moment he'll be kissing someone, and then he'll be dying.
Yeah, there was always... They always seem to have this sort of... as though they couldn't be bothered to write much of the script. It was just, we've got all the stunts, we'll figure that out first, and then we'll try and link the script to just get from one stunt to the next. It always seemed as though that's the way around it was written, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But then you don't watch a Bond film for the plot. You know, it's always pretty much the same. Yeah. But you're right, I always did get... there was a moment's confusion in the middle of every one, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also the case with this one. I was a bit... oh no! Are we in Switzerland or Italy or where are we now? Yeah, there was a moment of that.
Yeah, I might have to watch that so it comes out to find out.
Check it out, Louise. I recommend it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Ta-da.
Bye.
Did you see that Tony Blair and George Bush are giving each other presents like newlyweds or like they're courting?
Oh. Like what? What are they giving each other?
No end of things. They're just constantly giving each other stuff.
Do they need to?
Well, you wouldn't think so. What kind of
George Bush?
I've no idea. What kind of a special relationship is it? It's a bit weird, really. I mean, you know, men that aren't courting...
Do you think the wives then buy each other something as well?
No, I'm sure they don't have anything to do with it.
Oh, I don't know. I bet Cherise had to give some advice about what to buy for George W. What would you buy him?
Buying a present for the person who has everything is always difficult. But when you're trying to decide what to buy for the men and women who rule the world, it's damn near impossible, said, I don't know what this looks like, The Telegraph. In fact, so sensitive is the question of who gets what and who gets nothing when Tony Blair shops for his friends on the world stage, that Downing Street has declared that the prime ministerial gift-giving is an official secret as part of the Official Secrets Act, new open government. We can't even find out what he gives us presents now.
Hmm.
You know, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Is there a single thing that anybody's actually been able to find out under the official, government?
Do we need to know that?
In response to a request from the Times, oh, it's the Times, for details of the gifts given by the Prime Minister to President Bush since 2001, Downing Street showed remarkable frankness. To provide details of gifts, this is what Downing Street said, right? Mm-hmm. To a request as benign as that. To provide details of gifts given by the Prime Minister would be wholly inappropriate, as it would cause offence and would be discourteous to recipients. That's just their stock answer to any request of information, isn't it? As part of the Freedom of Information Act...
That means they're rubbish gifts.
Well, no, apparently
not. They're potpourri.
It's almost as though... It's almost like you do a search on a website for, I don't know, shoes. And 10 million things for shoes come up, and you'll click them all, and they're all got nothing to do with shoes. They'll say, shoes, yep, this way, and then you click on the thing, and it's just another site that says, search here for shoes. There are no actual shoes there. Do you get that?
No.
The Freedom of Information Act. It's like, yes, yes, information this way, big notices, like those golf signs that people hold up in...
golf sale.
Yeah, golf
sale. There's
always
a golf sale at every
I know,
high
where
street.
Do they get that stuff? Big flashy neon sign saying, information this way, and a bloke in the door saying, information, sir, yes, come this way, and there's a bloke behind the counter with an information label pinned to his lapel. And you say, I'd like some information, please. And he says, oh, no, we haven't got any of that. That's what it's like with this Freedom of Information Act. Information is freely available unless you actually want some, in which case we're fresh out. It's a secret. Sorry. The Freedom of Information application was made after President Bush and Mr. Blair were overheard discussing the gift of a sweater to Mr. Bush during the infamous... Yo Blair conversation at the G8 summit. What kind of a man would address the Prime Minister of another country as Yo Blair? I mean, Yo, for a start, and then Blair. Not Tony or Mr. Blair. Oh, Blair. I mean, how... that's just rude, isn't it?
Or closer than we think.
No, no, friends don't call each other by their second name unless they're playing football at the time.
Yeah, I don't say Yo Abbott.
No. but in refusing the request under Section 27(1)(a) of the Freedom of Information Act, most of which is designed in order to not give any information of any kind whatsoever, they said it would be likely to prejudice relations between the United Kingdom and any other state. This is just gifts they're giving each other. This is insanity.
Maybe they just don't want you to know where they're from.
In the United States, but they found out what they gave them, because all they did was they asked the United States where there is a Freedom of Information Act, and they freely gave them the information.
What was it?
In 2001, Tony gave George a barber, thorn-proof, classic coat with a zip-in vest and a snap-on hood.
What? What a strange thing to buy for someone. I mean, fair enough if you're buying it for your dad, or...
But who wants someone else to buy their clothes for them?
I think partners... And can buy clothes for each other.
That's it.
And, well, if your husband
and your
bought
mother
you
when you're younger.
Yeah, if your husband bought you shoes, for instance, you'd be horrified. You'd take them straight back, wouldn't you?
Well, no, because I'd have probably pointed them out in the shop and said, size 5.5, I'd like those.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that George Bush and Tony Blair weren't walking down the high street.
They popped into John Lewis. Yeah. Oh, I'd love one of those,
exactly.
George.
Exactly, yeah. So if he made it up off the top of his head and went into a shop and bought you a dress, for instance, or a nice sweater... You'd be, oh, have you kept the receipt, dear? You would be appalled, right? Unless you specifically pointed out something that you wanted.
No, I wouldn't be appalled. No, because I
lying,
think for a part... No.
You would take it back most of the time.
No.
Is that a yes?
Well, I was just thinking back to my birthday, and I was bought a picture that wasn't to my taste.
Right. See? I rest my face.
But I've had two pictures in the past that were very good. So it just depends, doesn't it?
In 2002, Tony gave George a black leather Tanner Kroll toiletries bag with GWB embossed in gold.
Oh, no. So he gave him something with his own initials on.
Yeah, that's properly weird.
That's really...
That's freaky.
That's ego crazy, isn't it?
Well,
here's a present from me with my initials on it.
Yeah. So it'll look like you've nicked it from me.
No, or that whenever you look at it, you'll always know it was from
me. Think of me, yeah. When you're, you know, reaching for your moisturiser.
Horrible.
Something weird going on here.
That's weird. That's properly strange.
In 2003, Tony gave George... A Conway Stewart Churchill presentation box, including a pen, a bottle of ink, a cigar, and a small book of Churchill quotations, held in a green leatherette case with gold tooling. Now, that's more the sort of statesman-like gift that you would...
I would expect that,
yeah. Because that represents Britain in all its majesty. Yeah. Leatherette, though. It's a bit cheap, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the president of the United States of America, one of the richest families in America, who's got access to all the money in the world.
Do you think he'd notice it was leatherette?
Well, I would think so, yeah.
Do you?
I mean, he's from Texas. He know, does, what George Bush doesn't know about a cow is not worth knowing. From Tony to Laura.
Oh, yeah.
So Tony's giving... Bush's wife presents now.
Some lingerie.
A black silk Emily Jo Gibb evening bag with grey floral design and silver tone handles. He's bought her a handbag.
Oh, God.
No, that doesn't seem right to me. What did Cherie think about that? I wouldn't like it if my husband bought someone else's wife a handbag. That would be very wrong.
It's just plain weird.
Yeah.
Who would buy a woman a handbag?
Only a partner.
Well, even
it's a very personal thing.
No bloke would go into a shop and buy a woman a handbag.
Oh, I've been bought a handbag. I had pointed it out.
Right, well, see, like I said, he didn't buy it.
He did, though. Well, he wrapped it up. I pretended I'd forgotten.
Right,
ooh, look
exactly.
At the bag.
But that's not him buying it. That's just him going out on an errand.
I don't
totally,
see it like that.
Well, that's what it is. Totally different. You told him to get that for you, and that's what he did.
Satisfaction guaranteed, though.
He might as well have just given you the money and you did it yourself.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have been the same at all. It wouldn't.
It would have been exactly the same. Tony gave George a navy blue waffle knit cotton polo shirt, size large.
Again, clothes. It's a very bizarre thing to give you, you know, another person.
Yeah. The thing is, though, whatever they bought each other is going to sound ridiculous to us, isn't it?
Well, how about this? A light blue Scottish cashmere scarf with a fringe. A St. Andrew's Lynx tartan gift box with a magnetic divot tool, two ball markers, two golf balls, a tea bag, and a velour tartan golf towel. This is just off the scale weird.
Well, but you know.
And then Tony gave George a navy blue wool sweater.
Yeah, the sweater, the clothing things are a bit strange.
It says here that British gifts are a tad unimaginative in comparison with those from other leaders. King Abdullah of Jordan has given the president six jars of various fertilisers. It sounds like an insult to me.
At least he's being creative, though.
Yes, very creative. Maybe they could give each other recycling bins or something. Bit of encouragement for the environment. Maybe that's what Tony could give George this Christmas.
The Sultan of Brunei, one of the richest men in the whole wide world, gave him a DVD of Singing in the Rain.
No.
No.
And a box of dates.
No. Really?
I'd be upset. Like, if somebody said, oh, a postman's just come with a present from the Sultan of Brunei, you'd be out of your mind with excitement, wouldn't you? You'd be rushing down to see what you've got. And it's a DVD of Singing in the Rain.
And some dates.
I mean, if you were George Bush, you'd instruct the CIA to go and, you know, deal some justice, wouldn't you?
That's going for $2.99 in my local supermarket at the moment as well.
Anyway, on that gift giving note, and if, by the way, you are considering, you know, this Christmas loose,
yeah,
cash is always acceptable.
Meet Nick Abbott.
It's a good idea to get someone else's opinion.
Oh, Tallulah.
Oh yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I am okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only okay.
No, I'm actually fantastic. I just wanted to cool down, to pretend I'm human and not always...
Right. Not crazy, yeah.
No, but it's good that I was listening to this thing with this present, because it's all to do with being rich and being human in the end, or being famous or being important, and it comes all down to they are just humans as well.
No, it's probably got something more to do with... once you start, you can't stop, because it would be impolite. It would be not acceptable, because, you know, you give... if one leader gives him a jumper, then he's got to think, oh, God, all right, well, what do I get? Let's calculate the value of it, so we don't... it doesn't look like we're showing off, so we'll have to give him something that's more or less the same price. And so he has his minions scurry about, and so Tony gives George something, and then George says, oh, cool, he's giving me something back. All right, well, and there must be teams of people that are constantly running around trying to find something that would be not too show-offy, you know, but just acceptable. Because I think after a certain amount of value, they have to pay the tax on the gifts. Either that, or they just, you know, keep it secret.
It sounds extremely painful.
Yeah, weird. But just weird.
Weird, and I think it's more difficult decision than if they should make war in wherever.
Yeah, because an international incident is just one mistake away.
But you know what about the thing with the waste in aeroplanes? I remember I watched a reportage in Germany where a group of women were having their tea and having a good time talking about their neighbours or whatever, and things splashed down on their washing and on their tea towel, no, on their table, whatever you call it, I don't know. And it was that waste from an aeroplane, because it was near the airport, and it was ice cubes and dark brown splashes.
All over their sponge fingers, that's nice.
All over the sponge fingers, the washing, because it was during summer. And it was analysed in a laboratory.
They analysed it?
Yes. And it was proofed in the pudding, yes.
Yeah, the pudding. Literally and figuratively, yeah.
And I did not only see it once, I saw it more than one.
But I'm sure that's a mistake. I mean, aeroplanes are not throwing out the waste, the people product. They're just not.
Now, thinking about it now, I think there was some sort of mistake. In
yeah. An error.
But just to have the counterpoint, the yin-yang effect to what was said earlier, what sounds much more reliable, I wanted to show that there are incidents.
Yeah, I mean, I have to walk under a bridge in order to get home, a bridge in which pigeons roost, and you can hear the splashes on either side in surround sound as you go underneath. And you never know, it's like running the gauntlet, you never know if you're going to get through unscathed. But that would pale into insignificance if you were, splashed from above by the product from a plane.
I tell you, I was in Turin with my father. And I got a big one on my head. I thought I'm going to die. I tell you, I can imagine that it's absolutely equal.
Well, you have a parrot flying about your flat, isn't it? Isn't there a parrot product all over the place?
It's his waste is the best waste ever.
What?
An animal can produce. It doesn't smell, and it's all in one, and it hardens after a little while, and it's nothing.
That almost sounds like an advert. It's the best waste ever.
It is definitely the best waste ever. I think I chose my animal very carefully there.
Right. Well, you should send me some in the... Well, no, maybe not.
No!
Is it trained to, in a special place? Or is it just wherever?
Pardon?
I'm trying not to say anything. I'm trying to say it without saying it. Does it, use a particular area, or does it just use the whole flat?
He has got a nickname whereby I use the naughty words with replace it with sugar bag.
Right, so are there sugar bags all over the place?
Yeah, but I collect it. I'm very neat. So it's, you wouldn't notice if you come here. No, no problem at all.
Right. Well, I'm glad
they
to know it.
They have favourite places, so it's pretty located.
Okay.
certain areas. But no, it's absolutely, in my case, it's completely, can eat from the floor, yes.
Oh, right. All right. Well, I'll remember that next time I come around. All right.
Okay, then.
Thanks a lot, Tallulah.
Bye.
Ta-ra. This is LBC. No one... Nick Abbott. Oh, Ben...
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Not bad, mate.
Oh, good. I was at the Niles Barkley gig tonight.
Niles Barkley, there's the tall, the thin one, and the short, fat one, and yeah. I mistakenly said things that weren't entirely appreciative yesterday until I realised that we have the same parent company. I corrected myself.
That guy, I saw him at the short fat one, I saw him at the O2 Wireless Festival, and he put so much effort into his gig, he must pass out on the night. I can't believe how he hasn't lost any weight.
Like that guy on Lost, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the clip they do on Bo Selector where, how his...
No, I'm sorry, but I just don't find Bo Selector funny. I'm just one of those strange people who doesn't think that Little Britain is funny, and I don't think that League of Gentlemen is funny, and I don't think that Bo Selector is funny, and all of those catchphrase comedies that the entire nation is busting a gut laughing at, I just don't get them.
Yeah, I mean, I can take them in small doses, but when you buy a DVD with all the tears, I couldn't watch it all the way through.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put it in the machine.
I went to, on the way to the gig today, guess what happened 2 stops away from Brixton?
The train broke down.
It broke down, yeah, and the station was evacuated and all the tubes stopped.
The station was evacuated?
It's taken out for safety reasons, and I don't know what was
The train was evacuated?
The tube, it was all...
Well, they do that for the silliest reasons now. If somebody, leaves a paper on a seat, they'll say, oh, for health and safety reasons, we must all evacuate the train. And, I think it's just gone a little bit too far.
Yeah, me and my friend think that, when they always say it's a signal failure, we think that's code for, somebody's
not turned up for work. Yeah.
I've had enough and just go on themselves.
All right, well, listen, thanks a lot, Ben, but I've got to go, all right. We have to evacuate this hour.
London's LBC
97.3. Yes?
0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Did you see the story about Miss Great Britain and Ready Steady Teddy Sheringham? As perfect a couple, one might struggle to think of a better one than Miss Great Britain and a much-loved English footballer. But it appeared that Danielle Lloyd's relationship with the West Ham striker Teddy had lost her the crown that she was stripped of the 2006 title. She's the 2006 Miss Great Britain, and they've taken her crown off her. She reminisced about Sheringham at 40, the oldest player in the Premiership, buying her a, wait for it, £7,000 pair of Jimmy Choo shoes last Christmas. Lucy's stunned. This came as a surprise to the beauty contest organisers. They had been assured that Mrs. Lloyd had not met him until the event's post-awards party in February this year because, hang on, he was a judge in the contest. You've read about this, right?
No.
Sheringham was the only judge to vote for her before she won the title on an audience vote. So she was allegedly going out with the man who was judging the contest. And the organisers thought that she only met him after the contest awards ceremony.
Hmm. That's fair, then.
A statement on the Miss Great Britain website read: following recent claims in the press and magazines and the publicity given on the Playboy website for their next issue, we have sadly decided to strip Danielle Lloyd of her title as Miss Great Britain 2006, effective immediately, because she was going to whip him out for the lads in Playboy.
Oh, no.
We're very sad that this action has been necessary, and we wish her the best for the future, they said. She's from Liverpool. She maintained that she was misquoted in the magazine and insisted that her sacking was solely because of her decision to pose for Playboy. Well, you see, they're not allowed to do that. They have to pretend that they're all, you know,
very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaste.
Care about the world and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. The young Modu would have known that she was taking a chance by agreeing to pose topless for Playboy, as the rules of the contest clearly state that the winner, quotes, will not accept or undertake any fully nude or topless assignments, paid or not, during her reign. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to get them out for any publication at all, whatsoever. And so the first thing that she did was to
whip them out.
Yes. Two questions I have for this. First of all, who even knew that there was such a thing as a Miss Great Britain anymore?
I think I did know there was.
I had no idea. Are they still doing that?
I think Channel 5 televised it.
They
last
did?
Year, yeah.
Well, who had this year's? Because she's the 2006 Miss Great Britain.
Has there been one every single year?
I've got no idea. Doesn't that seem like so anachronistic? I mean, that's just stepping back into the 70s. That's just silly.
But do we still do Strongest Man?
I've no clue.
Yeah, every Christmas. Or is it every New Year's Eve?
I think so. Yeah. See, so we still do
every
the macho
New Year's
side
Eve.
As well.
Is they always show it every New Year's Eve, don't they?
They do?
Pulling trucks and...
Or every New Year's Day in the afternoon when they need to fill an hour. They put the world's strongest
when
man
when everyone's
on.
Still unconscious. No, but that's a different thing. What were they pulling trucks with their teeth? That's that one, BBC One, the whatever they call it.
Oh.
And David Coleman is always introducing. Is that what you're talking about? But
yes.
That's not the same. That's not a beauty contest.
No,
that's
strength, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just silly. It's just ridiculous.
You know, but it's women looking pretty, isn't it? And
chopping
men being
logs.
Macho.
Yes.
So
right, but no, but the similar thing would be Mr. Universe. I mean, men do that macho thing. They oil themselves up. They only eat tuna out of a can for 3 years, so they haven't got any fat on them at all. And you can see the striations in the muscles in their face. It just looks. And they look like they've been blown up with a foot pump. It just looks utterly, utterly weird. period. Mm. It's they've got more steroids than a bull's parts, and it's just bizarre.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Women look even worse when they do it.
Oh yeah, that is properly horrible.
They just don't look female.
No,
really.
It's not natural.
It's just really off-putting.
Yeah.
In every sense, it's just really off-putting. So that was my first question. Who even knew that such a thing existed as Miss Great Britain? And I just can't believe that they would still go to the trouble of doing it. So how utterly silly. My second question is, £7,000 for a pair of shoes?
Well, that is silly, isn't it? That is really silly.
That's insane. You're going to be walking around on a thin slick of dog product on the pavements with shoes that cost seven...
Don't talk about that.
It's true.
Oh.
Where do dogs do? Dogs do, because they're moronic owners, let them just do right there on the pavement. Where does it go? Pavement's made of concrete and tar. It doesn't seep in like it would in grass.
But it washes away with the
eventually.
Rain.
Yes, the rain will come down.
And dries.
Or these days, the mist will settle on the pavement and gradually break it down such that it spreads itself in a thin layer all over the the pavements of Great Britain are slick with it.
Or in this cold weather, it'll freeze.
Yuck.
I think.
And she'll be walking around on £7,000 pair of shoes on...
icy mug.
Thin slick of dog product. Isn't that awful? How can a pair of shoes cost £7,000?
What are they made of?
You could buy a car for that.
You're both looking at me like I would buy a pair of shoes for £7,000. I don't have £7,000 to even put on a pair
of shoes.
Well,
you represent all the women in the world here, because you're the only female in the building.
Well,
it's your fault, Luce.
Yeah.
Well,
I take back that offer of a hug.
I would barely spend over £100 on a pair of shoes. Is that right?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
But then you'd never wear them.
Ooh.
See, men buy shoes and they wear them for 10 years.
Yes, that's true.
Women buy
shoes
and they just put them... they keep them in the box.
Well, because you have different ones to match different outfits.
Oh, don't
start. And different times of the year, you know.
Here's Burton-on-Trent. Alan. Alan's gone. I've got a story about... okay, you can choose now. I've got Iran fires missiles... Arabs go nuclear, the gay evangelist, traffic lights, or sex with sheep?
Definitely not the last one.
It was in a family newspaper.
That doesn't matter. We're not talking about it.
Doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
We can't talk about that.
It was in a family newspaper, Luce.
That doesn't make it okay for us to talk about.
Why not?
Because it's not nice.
Not nice?
It's certainly not nice.
No.
Well, think about what you're saying for a second. If you can write it in a family newspaper, but you can't say it after midnight on an adult radio station, isn't that insane?
But you know that. It's the same with swearing, isn't it? We don't swear on the radio, but everyone's swearing on the television now.
Yeah, what? Can you figure that out?
No. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
But I don't want to get into trouble.
All right.
What were the other ones?
Oh, well, I've got no end of them.
Oh, you had, yeah, you...
Cameron wants to hug...
Hug a hoodie.
Yeah, hug a hoodie, and it was love
and
a lout.
Love a lout, yeah.
Why? What's with the alliteration? Like, that's going to make any difference.
What could be next?
Teaching louts to fish.
Mug a mother. No.
Young louts are going to be taught to fish in their own pond. The local council's going to dig them a pond and then teach them to fish. £10,000 of taxpayers' cash is being splashed out on constructing a pond in the grounds of the Wetherby Young Offenders Institute in West Yorkshire. They'll stock it with roach, rudd, perch, tench and carp. And the fish are going to cost another £5,000. Inmates aged 15 to 18 will get equipment and advice, and bosses hope it will calm them down. An insider said... You know, whenever the papers say things like that, an insider said, a close personal friend informed us that that means that they're making it up. Unless there's an actual name in the story, they just made it up. So the Sun said, it's madness. But you know what? When I was in Leeds, I was next to the river there, and I would see kids come down way before you'd think that teenagers would even be up. and they'd be sitting there with a little box of sandwiches and a couple of cans of Tennent's, and they'd be there at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you'd go out to the shops and buy yourself a dinner and a plastic tray, and you'd come back, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, they'd be in exactly the same position. They wouldn't have budged, sitting there, wrapped, staring at the water, having achieved nothing. But they'd never have been so interested in, if they'd paid that much attention in class, for instance, then we'd be in a lot better state than we are right now. Tony Blair wouldn't be moaning about the lack of knowledge of science subjects in this country.
Hmm.
So all it teaches you is patience, really.
I'm sure it must be like meditation. I'm sure they just zone out. Is that a phrase that makes any sense?
Yeah.
They just don't have anything on their minds at all. They almost shut down. So I think that sending them fishing would be a good idea.
Shut them down.
Because it's relatively cheap. It doesn't take up much space. It's not like we're going to run out of fish stocks in our rivers, because you can't eat that stuff anyway. They just chuck them back. So it's saving the environment as well. I mean, it's not that pleasant for
it'd
a fish to
quite
get
rewarding,
yanked out by your mouth. But
what's the point in throwing it back, though? What's the point in going fishing if you're going to throw it back?
They've got to throw it back.
What would you do with it?
Can't they cook it?
Can you?
Yeah. Why?
Would you want to cook something that came out of a river in Leeds?
Cook it up.
With foam on the surface.
You're right, people still eat eels.
Tires floating by.
Yeah.
It'd be horrible.
In the oven, all the germs will be
evaporated.
Concentrated. Yeah. The water would be evaporated, but the germs would remain.
Be all right, just gut it, cook it.
Seriously, they're not going to gut them and cook them. They're going to go down the fish shop or go down McDonald's.
Get some fish fingers.
But it's just the it of it. It's just the... And I've never really got it. The only time I ever went fishing was with a crab line, which I...
crabbing.
Yeah, you know what a crab line looks like? Basically, it's just a reel of wire with a dirty great big hook on the end. And I confidently threw it out, not realising I was standing on a wire about 15 foot away from the hook, which described a perfect arc in the air and swung back and lodged itself in my thumb.
Oh,
so they're really sharp, those.
Yeah, so I had to
go
straight to hospital with my first act of fishing, which put me off forever, really. But they just sit there as though they've been tasked with the world's most complicated puzzle, and they are motionless all day long. So I think that's probably an idea of rare genius. Send them... don't hug them.
Send them fishing.
Or love them. Yeah. Send them fishing.
Go fish.
So I think that we've solved the problem right there, because I was belly aching last night about, the kids today. And there's the answer right there. Give them a shell suit, a six-pack of Tennent's, and a fishing line. Nick Abbott. Oh, Simon.
Hello.
Hey, Simon.
Hello, mate. The first time calling to your show.
You're on the M25.
I am at the moment. Call up about the fishing.
Fishing, yeah.
Yeah, I've been fishing down in Devon, and I've eaten what I've caught as well.
And what did you catch?
Mackerel.
A rare disease. A mackerel.
Yeah. Gutted it and barbecued it.
Huh. Well, that doesn't sound very appealing. I mean, I prefer fish that doesn't actually look like it's ever been alive. I prefer it square, in a box.
Yeah, no, that was my first thought, but, you can end up sitting there for hours fishing, but once you catch it, it does actually taste very nice when you do it yourself.
Well, it would be the freshest fish you ever bought, because you just freshly killed it, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it's much nicer when you've cooked it and prepared it yourself, because you've worked hard for it.
But am I right about the appeal of it? That it's really, it's meditation for people who aren't hippies.
Yeah, it's something that you can chill out and relax, and you've not got to stress out about it. Some people will sit there at the hook in the water and sit and read a book, or they'll have their MP3 players with them, or they'll just sit there and wait or fall asleep
and read a book.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the whole point of fishing was that you were concentrating on the fishing.
Yeah, but there's only so much concentrating before you fall asleep.
Yeah, I suppose so. But these kids didn't have books. They just sat there staring at the water, and occasionally they'd mumble something to each other.
Yeah.
You know, boys aren't really that communicative. I mean, men aren't communicative, and boys certainly aren't. They'll mumble, like, you know, pass us the tinny, or have you got any skins? They'll say something like that.
Well, the very first time I went fishing, I was 10 years old, and my dad snapped a branch off a tree because he didn't have a spare fishing rod for me, put a bit of line on the end and a hook, and I just dipped it in the water. 30 seconds later, I caught a fish before the other two had done. So they'd been fishing about 2 hours.
That's the sort of tale that you read, I don't doubt, in fishing magazines. Fishing lore, that is.
Yeah, the tiniest fish in the world.
You're not supposed to say that, Simon. You're supposed to say it was huge.
Oh, it's huge!
But it got away. You've got no evidence.
But that's not
what it's got on my screen that you called about.
Sorry?
You didn't call about that, though, did you?
This is a straight-to-air one. I phoned earlier on James Max's show.
It says, I don't care about fashion, I'll wear whatever. Is that what you called about, or is that an internal error? Right.
James was talking about, like, fashions and shops coming back into fashion, like M&S and stuff like that. But that was, I phoned in earlier on. But I just phoned Sarah, because I mean, I'm on my home now, and I just got the signal back, and I heard about fishing, so I thought I could give it a call.
But that subject appealed to me because I used to spend all of my money on clothes. All of my money on clothes. I've got no end of things hanging in my wardrobe in bags that I've only ever worn in the shop.
Yeah.
And I got to the point when I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. I don't ever want to spend another penny on an item of clothing again unless I'm actually going to have to leave the flat naked unless I do. And it happens to you when you get to an age when you can't be bothered to go to clubs anymore. And I think that's about the time. And now, I mean, look at me loose. What a state. I got food all the way down the front of my sweatshirt here, and it's just awful.
Have you?
Yeah, mostly. Well, I say that without looking, because almost everything I've got has got food down the front.
You've got
of
your
it.
Trousers on, though, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, today I've got my trousers on, yeah. Mostly because everything else is in the wash.
Oh, I see. Well,
but yeah, you know, and you used to worry about how you looked when you went out because, you know, you wanted to be sexually attractive, even if you were going out just to get the newspaper. But now I just can't be bothered. Who cares, you know? Don't even own a comb.
All of us have dressed up, I see, tonight.
Fashion labels don't appeal to me at all. I mean, it's the most expensive shirt that I've got in my wardrobe was 75 pence from a charity shop.
Oh, you were ripped off, mate. 75 pence? that doesn't appeal to me, really. I mean, you know, some people have to buy clothes that are that cheap, but a shirt that someone else has worn?
Well, I mean, I could get myself out for £7 if I wanted to, for an evening. I'd just go and raid Primark.
Right. Well, don't show up at the royal event in Leicester Square on Thursday next week, will you? Because the Queen won't be impressed.
I think I can stretch to a tenner on that one.
Yeah, all right. Pull out all the stops. Cheers, Simon.
Cheers, mate. Good night.
Let's have... fishing has woken them up. Let's have Bromley. Hello, Craig.
Hi.
Craig.
Hi.
Yes, Craig.
Hi. I just want to talk about fishing.
Are we on speakerphone?
No, I'm in a pub toilet.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's a friend of mine, he runs a bar, so I'm just in the toilet at the moment.
What, because it's quiet? You like the atmosphere? What?
Well, it's a snooker club, actually, so...
A snooker club?
It is, indeed, yeah.
So all the dodgy dealing would go on in the toilets of a snooker club. I've seen that in the Sweeney, yeah.
No, it's just me.
Righto.
No, I was going to talk about fishing. I mean, for me, it's not really about... You know, what you catch or anything. It's just, it's sort of the thrill of the chase sort of thing, you know?
The thrill of the chase?
It is, yeah.
Well, you sitting there just staring at the water. It doesn't sound like a chase.
Well, no. Well, it's just more about just sitting around with a few friends in a boat, just having a few laughs and a couple of beers and, you know...
All right, well, see, now that does sound interesting. In a boat. See, that's the key part there. But these guys that I would see out of my window, they would sit on the... On the river that goes through Leeds is just it foams in the evening because there's a brewery just up the way there, and I was right opposite a weir over which Leeds detritus would, you know, dead people from Liverpool would be floating by, and shopping trolleys, and it was just hideous. And they'd be sitting there looking at this effluviant, just staring at it for hour upon endless hour, alone. They'd arrive in groups, but then they'd take up separate positions along the bank, so the communication was even impossible. And I just didn't get it. I just couldn't figure it out, what they saw in it, because they'd be there all day.
Oh, that's just boring. That's the old way of fishing, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not an old guy. I mean, I'm only 20. But, I mean, me and a few friends, we always... A friend of mine's got, like, a fishing boat. Not a big thing, sort of more of a canoe sort of thing. But we go out on the lakes and...
A canoe?
Well, not a canoe, but a small boat, you know, nothing big motor-powered, you know.
Right.
We sort of row out, and we sit around for a while, and, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 hours, and whether we catch anything doesn't really make a difference.
Right, well, that sounds like it sounds like taking the pub outside.
That's exactly what it is, right. And that's what it should be.
Well, that sounds appealing to me. I get that.
Come fishing with us.
No. Only 3 men in a boat. But this solitary confinement that they impose on themselves, sitting on the bank, staring at the brown, frothy water, that's just,
a
mystery
to me.
That's
a waste of time, that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not likely to catch anything, so you've got to have something else for you. I.e. drinking a few beers and having a few laughs with your friends.
Yeah, well, they're drinking beers all right, but the laughs were thin on the ground. I think maybe they were just escaping from the hurly-burly of life on the Leeds council estate.
I could imagine so.
Yeah. From life in Beeston, if anyone's listening.
If I lived there, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, I guess so. I'd be on the first boat out.
But Bromley's not much better, though.
I bet. All right, thanks a lot, Craig.
Thank you.
Ta-ra. Here is Swansea. John.
Beeston. Sounds fantastic, eh?
Yeah, I always used to lock my doors going through Beeston.
I bet.
They appear on... sometimes they appear on the national news.
The canoe thing on the sea, yeah, you take your fishing boat, yeah, your little canoe, and the fishing thing, and you're sitting there, just beyond the surf, with your little, you know, your little rod and your reel, waiting for the mackerel. Oh, lovely. But the thing is, you know, I used to go fishing when I was a kid, down the river.
Yeah.
And I used to catch nothing, took a couple of eels.
Eels.
Good eating. Eels. Yeah, well, it's better than anything you can buy in the shop, right?
I wouldn't poke an eel, let alone eat it.
No, it's good. It's good.
What does it taste like? Chicken.
No. You know cod.
It tastes like cod.
No, yeah. Do you know cod?
Do I know cod? Yeah.
Much better.
We've met. Better than cod, but cod doesn't taste of anything.
Well, you put all the stuff in it and the batter. I never really got batter, but...
Eel. Is it sort of rubbery?
No,
I don't mean lovely, I mean rubbery.
Yes. No, it's good. How can you say it? One of the best fish you can eat. It's got that sea fish kind of thing, because they come from the Sargasso Sea. The Sargasso Sea, you know, all the way up there.
Fancy an eel loose?
Eh?
Not really. Well, I can only think of jelly deals, except
oh,
I did...
No.
Janet Street Porter did it on the F word with lots of different dishes, and it apparently was much more appealing that way. But
No.
Cockles?
Just
mussels?
I love mussels.
Fry them, yeah.
All that slimy stuff, I'm just... No.
Prawns?
No.
Prawns are all right. They're different, because they don't look like they've ever been alive.
What, when they've got their heads on?
Well, you have to take the heads off, which is a job I don't like doing, especially when the grey goo oozes out.
Out the back of the spine.
You love it.
I love peeling off the heads and tails and all the bits, yeah.
Oh, now you're
it's
really going to freak me out.
No, but the eels are better, though, because you take the skin off and the head.
Oh.
You fry them, and they taste fantastic, though.
That sounds hideous.
No, but, okay, but George and Tony's presents, yeah?
Yes.
Like, why don't they give each other nice jams?
Jams.
A pleasant cheeses.
What, that they made themselves?
Oh, hopefully not. Got the feet in them, I guess.
All right, well, I'll pass the advice on, all right.
Just tell them.
All right. Cheers, John. Nice little, yeah, okay. And a scone to go with. A nice cup of tea. Yeah. All right, cheers, John. They could, you know, when they wake up in the morning, they could make each other breakfast. Or have I gone too far?
London's LBC 97.3.
0870
90
973. Nick Abbott.
Would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Burton on Trent. Alan.
Good evening. How are you?
I am all right.
Well, after many, many phone calls, I finally get through.
Hallelujah. You made it.
Yeah.
Everyone's thrilled.
And after listening to you for many years, I don't actually believe my ears. You're actually plugging a James Bond film. Has somebody made you an offer to sleep with a Bond girl?
No, nothing like that.
Kate would sort of take anybody up on that offer.
It's not like a Bond film. That's the key to this movie. It's not like any Bond film you've ever seen. It's a completely new start. Because it's supposed to be a prequel, right?
Right.
Strangely, I guess it's common knowledge. I didn't realise that when I went in, so I was a bit confused to begin with, mm-hmm. because they were making references to things that I thought, well, hasn't that happened already? But it's supposed to be, before... Because Casino Royale was the first book that Ian Fleming wrote in the Bond series, and it's taken that to heart.
Have you ever seen The Bourne Identity? Is it very similar to that? Very basic, sort of...
I thought The Bourne Identity was a bit daft.
Well...
It was one of those movies where if a guy punches another, it sounds like two aeroplanes colliding in midair. You know, it's just gigantic sound effects to the silliest small thing. I couldn't take it seriously, really.
An American film, bad sound effects. But anyway, the real reason why I'm ringing up is about Richard Hammond, his crash and all that.
Yeah.
I've noticed if celebrities had a mishap, like a car crash, they do drugs, get caught on film, all of a sudden their celebrity status tends to skyrocket.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, what message are we giving our kids with these people?
Take cocaine and drive like a maniac.
Well, yeah, exactly, but if I was at the BBC, I'd definitely sack him as an insurance risk.
No, they're going to... I bet that he is, or his agent, anyway, is mortified that he signed a contract just before the crash, because his price will have gone through the roof now. Oh, I mean, all this publicity... Not even Madonna has gotten as much publicity as this bloke did just for driving off a track at 300 miles an hour.
Well, as for Jeremy Clarkson, I'd definitely throw him into a sack full of snakes.
Jeremy Clarkson is the only thing that makes that... Apart from the filming of it, it's beautifully shot... But he is that TV programme. He's definitely the funniest thing on it. And Richard Hammond is...
No.
I don't know. There's going to be a backlash eventually, because the outpouring of love to this bloke, who most people hadn't even considered, up to this point, he was just the irritating one on Top Gear. And the guy who, showed up on as just a Jobsworth presenter on silly programmes on Sky... if it wasn't Carol Smiley, it was Richard Hammond, who's just one of these bland, blonde people who, gurn at the camera as though to say, aren't I cute? But there was nothing actually there. Every time that they gave him a car to test, I think, oh, God. And if you TiVo'd it, Sky Plus'd it, then you'd want to zoom through it just to get back to Jeremy Clarkson bellyaching about vegans and people who knit their own sandwiches.
Did you ever see the Top Gear where the... took a caravan on holiday?
Yes.
And people like that are meant to show us how to drive cars.
Well, that was so obviously all set up. I mean, they set fire to the caravan while they were in it. Right, that must have taken about 3 days to set up, because the health and safety people would have been all over it, and they would have had to have, 10 people surrounding them with fire extinguishers, and the fire was supposed to move from the caravan to a tent, and it all burnt down, and as though it was a big accident. Oh, come off it, who are you kidding? I mean, most of that show is totally fake. It seems that way to me. Those races that they have are staged, and there's just no way that that's real, because, as I said before, they'd have to have 100 camera crews along the route. But they don't. They just send one camera crew out with each person, and all these shots of the cars zooming by. Well, who's taking those then? People are standing at the side of the road with their mobile phones. It's all It's all a setup. It's not real. It's just entertainment. And that's, you know, what has made it so popular. But the reason why it is popular is Jeremy Clarkson. It's not Richard Hammond.
Well, I'd have a friend who'd disagree with you, but I totally
Well, he'd be wrong then, wouldn't he?
But anyway, thanks very much. Take care.
Oh, not at all. Another satisfied customer. Right, so we're going to do the story about sex with sheep now, Luz.
Right.
Have the papers come in, yes?
No, I've called three times.
Oh,
and they're
no.
They're not here, they're late tonight.
Why do the papers come so early on a Sunday and so late on a Monday?
I don't know, because they're often in about 11:30, aren't they? We normally get them.
No, when I did this last Sunday, the papers weren't here then either. Maybe it's someone, maybe it's the weekend delivery boy is much more efficient than the weekday delivery boy.
Maybe, or maybe he's been mugged with his papers on the way in.
You think that, you know, riding around on his little bike with all the Sunday papers, he'd be much later, because the Monday papers weigh about a third of the weight.
Yes.
In fact, there's nothing in the Monday papers, usually.
No, there's not normally big exclusives. They would have been in today's.
Well, most of the people aren't working at the weekend in the newspaper business, and so Monday papers are a bit thin. I'm a bit loath to pay for them, really, because there's precious little in them.
That's true.
All the juicy gossip about stars taking cocaine and sleeping with each other and three-in-a-bed lesbian romps and all that stuff, that will have been in the News of the World, which itself is a bit thin. I mean, I bought that today because I was going to be on tonight. Normally, I just make do with the Sunday Times. And there's precious little three-in-a-bed lesbian romping in the Sunday Times.
Well, disappointing.
They just don't cover that. Eventually, they'll have a pull-out section, because they've got a pull-out section for everything else. There'll be the style section, the driving section, the business section, the three-in-a-bed lesbian romp section.
Nice.
There's a big gap in the market there. They'll think of it eventually. But, you read the News of the World today, and it was all about Frank Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Frank. If it wasn't Frank Bruno, it was the X Factor.
Yes. I watched a bit of that tonight on the repeat.
They're trying to ramp up the interest in that programme. It's probably still doing relatively well in the ratings, but they have to keep plugging away.
I didn't think much of the singers, I must say.
Well, they can't sing.
They were really...
They're awful this time around, aren't they?
But they just seemed like just nobodies.
Yes,
just...
that's because they are.
Yeah, but at least with some of them in the past, I've looked and thought, oh, yeah, actually, you're quite, you know, a bit more interesting.
Well,
but
if you watch
these people are just really bad.
It's embarrassing. Are these the best people that they found, having auditioned hundreds of thousands of people up and down the country? What did that say about this country?
Yeah, but the thing is good artists probably don't have to go through the X Factor to get there.
Yes, they do. There's no end. You see, people say in this business, people like Robbie Williams will say to some aspiring type, well, you know, you keep working at it and eventually you'll make it. And the bald truth is, if you keep working at it and you're tremendously good and you've got a great singing voice and you write great songs... Hmm. In all likelihood, you won't make it, because it's all about luck. Talent has precious little to do with it in show business. It's just the luck of it, who you know, and where you are at any given point.
Yeah.
But
it always has been, hasn't it?
That's right. And so, if you are hugely talented, you won't just step into... success, and so you would need to go on the X Factor or some such thing. It'll probably be the best chance making it you'll have. Yeah,
but these days, if you go on the X Factor, even if you win, it's been done so many times that it's not a big deal now to win the X Factor, is it really? You'd now say, oh, it's the fourth, you know, winner from the X Factor or whatever.
Well, it very much depends on how good you are when you win, because in this country it seems to produce such a small amount of talent, because so precious few of, I mean, there's no end of these shows. When one finishes, another starts, right? And the BBC have got them, and ITV have got them, and I'm amazed that Channel 4 hasn't jumped in. I suppose they've got no room in their schedules because they've got Big Brother on 365 days a year. I'm surprised it's not on right now. They're about to start Celebrity Big Brother, right? And, Jason Donovan is going to go there. Oh, God, he hasn't troubled us for a good long while, yeah.
Is he?
Jason Donovan.
And, David Hasselhoff, is he?
No, that's I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
He's doing both.
I got mixed up, too.
You're talking about I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here, the jungle one.
Is there another one? Oh, there's Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
I guess they wouldn't go head-to-head, would they?
Well, well, they do for the normal one, often, don't they? They coincide.
Mm. Well, that would be crazy, though, because there's only there's only so many pages in The Sun, and they can only give so much publicity to those.
Well, didn't they both sort of certain papers designated their publicity to each one? So the Mirror covered, you know, the Jungle, and the other one did.
No, they all do. They all do it all. I'm sure it's all from the same publicity company.
Mm.
They just they're like agents. They'll walk into the newspaper office and they'll say, "Boy, have I got an exclusive for you!" And then they'll lay 10 stories out on the table. Like when an agent goes in, says, "I've got just the fella," and he'll give him the book of all of the people on his roster. That's agents for you, and that's publicity machines, completely indiscriminate.
True.
Never get one.
Okay, I won't. I'm sure I won't anyway. I never have need to.
I don't know, because my screens are bust. Are we going for a break now?
We can do.
All right. If you... Nick Abbott. A little while ago I mentioned the Ig Nobel Awards. Have you heard about this? You know, you've heard of the Nobel Awards.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Now they have for a good long while they've had the Ig Nobel Awards, where actual real-life scientists who are, you know, studying things that might not win the Nobel Prize.
Right.
Put themselves in for the Ig Nobel Awards. And the one that won this year was the... This made the news a little while ago, and I thought, this is just such a fantastic idea. This is bound to be a success. A device that repels teenagers.
Isn't
that a great idea?
Yes.
It's this thing that makes a noise that only teenagers can hear.
Yeah.
And they've come up with a way of it appealing to teenagers, because they're going to use it as a mobile phone ringtone so that they can receive calls in class and the teacher can't hear the phone go off. Right. See how quickly they turn that around to their own advantage?
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Genius. He's a Welshman. Howard Stapleton's device makes a high-pitched noise inaudible to adults but annoying to teenagers. And people are putting them outside their shop so that hooded ne'er-do-wells
just can't stand
it anymore. Well, it sounds like, apparently it sounds like mosquitoes buzzing in your ear, which would just make you want to leave. I mean, you just wouldn't be able to stand it, because you couldn't get away from it.
So
you just drive you mad.
What, so as soon as you're sort of in your 20s, you wouldn't hear this?
Well, I think your hearing becomes less distinct.
Pardon?
I had my ears syringed once. It was a bizarre experience, because
some people say they love it.
People love that, yeah.
It was kind of pleasurable. It's not very good for you. I think you can burst an eardrum if you're not if you're not lucky. But I came out and I was walking along the pavement, and for about 20 minutes you can hear every rustle in your clothes, whereas normally you can't. And it was just so weird. I kept looking around because it felt like somebody was following me, wearing plastic sheeting.
but then it was back to normal.
Yeah, it was like being an owl. What an owl must be like. I could hear everything.
Do they just pour warm water down your...
They squirt it. They get this giant syringe.
Yeah.
And stick it in your ear, and then they...
Oh, does it make you feel sick?
Well, it makes you feel a bit... No, not sick. It makes you feel dizzy while it's going on, yeah.
Mm.
So you're lying down?
But it is like you've just had your brain
sloshed. Do they try it?
How does it come out?
Yes.
Is it like colonic? Is there one going in and one going out?
No, it just is a giant syringe, and they squirt it in, and the water just squirts right out again.
Oh, I see.
I mean, they're not gigantic canals in there. That's not like great lakes of liquid.
But I'd imagine it as if you were coming out of a swimming pool, you know, and you've got all that water in your ear.
Yeah.
I'd find that really
that's
irritating.
That's a horrible feeling.
Kind of, but I think it just goes in so quickly, it all comes out again. Okay. None seemed to rest in there, or if it did, it evaporated.
Does it fall all down your shoulder?
No, they put a kidney-shaped metal cup underneath your ear.
Nice.
To catch the bits.
The brown water.
The brown water.
I wanted to have a look at the bits, because...
Oh, why?
Well, you know, don't you want to look at the bits that come out of you? Don't you have the... All humans have this desire to take a peek at what comes out. Isn't that true?
Maybe that's more of a boy thing. I don't know.
Just once,
really?
Maybe.
Oh, come on.
Maybe you just want to have a look at it once.
You know, it was a field of medicine, still is, to examine your product of a morning to see how you are.
Right.
And I was in Amsterdam once, and they had this toilet which was set up just for that. Instead of...
What, see-through or something?
See-through? Oh, loose.
What do you mean?
What, there'd be, like, stadium seating there? Is that what you mean?
No, I meant just
there'd
the
be a support act
itself.
Before...
Not, well, like, so emergency.
How would you see... You'd have to bend
I wondered
down
if they designed it, like, the you know, the actual basin itself which to is, be see-through, so
just
you could...
Stop speaking, Lucy.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, there was this... instead of water beneath you, there was a... well, you could only describe it as a tray.
Oh, how ghastly!
With a hole at the front where overflow would disappear, but basically your happy morning sit down would be there presented there for you on a tray. Isn't that nice? Oh, but you'd be able to see how you are.
Why are we talking about this?
But how would you...
It's perfectly natural.
Know if it's normal or not.
Well, you'd get a sense of what is normal, you know, day by day. And then, as each day goes by, you'd be able to see how you are that day. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, it would be useful, surely.
Oh, God. Nothing better to do.
That's the Amsterdammers for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the
change the subject.
Well, it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
The winners get a cash award, and it's part of a human magazine called the Annals of Improbable Research. The prizes are intended to celebrate the unusual, honour the imaginative, and spur people's interest in science, medicine and technology. These aren't just you know, any old Joes. These are actual real scientists working in the field who, probably in their spare time, as a joke, were kind of like a boffin's joke. They conduct experiments that wouldn't normally get funding.
Right.
Other winners include how many photos must be taken to ensure no one in a group shot has their eyes closed. Do you know how many people you have to have in a room before it's more likely than not that two people will share the same birthday?
No, what's the probability?
Have a guess. Share the same birthday. How many people do you have to amass before it's certain, almost certain, that two people would share the same birthday? Have a guess.
One in a hundred?
Not one in... Oh, no. So you get 100 people.
Yeah.
You think that would be a one in three chance, surely, because there's 365 days a year.
No, it must be higher than that.
Have a think about it in a minute. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
All right. Another one was why woodpeckers... This is genius. Woodpeckers. Why woodpeckers do not get headaches... Can you imagine what it'd be like for a little bird bashing its head repeatedly into a log? Why doesn't it get a headache? Because they do it with such vigour and violence that you can hear them miles away. Mm. What's that noise, you're thinking? Someone's demolishing a building. No, it's a tiny little bird bashing its face into a piece of wood. How come that doesn't get a headache?
Have you ever seen a woodpecker?
I've seen a woodpecker peck.
Right. All right.
Why dung beetles are fussy eaters? Dung beetles. Fussy eaters. Because they won't just eat any old dung, Liz.
Oh, dear, dear. The papers are in, by the way.
Too late.
Try and change the subject.
Why the sound of fingernails scraping on blackboards is so annoying?
See, just even you saying it makes me feel funny.
But isn't that fascinating? These are questions that are all worthy of research, but no one would ever bother were it not for these awards. Isn't that genius? Why is it that fingernails down a blackboard makes you go, ooh, like that?
It does, doesn't it?
And you're thinking about it, right? You're thinking about the feeling of the fingernails
as well,
aren't you?
Yes, I'm thinking about my fingernails catching down
there. And that, that jarring that goes up your finger, it just makes you...
It's like the same when you scrape a plate with your knife, really.
Well, see, that doesn't bother me.
That's all right.
Yeah. Oh, not when it does
with
it really...
the fingernails is that you think they're going to snap backwards because you... pushing them against the, a hard surface.
I think it's the vibration as well, because there's sometimes when you hit, like if you hit a like a cricket bat or a golf ball or something like that, and you don't hit a hit the sweet spot, and you get that vibration that goes through your hands. The same kind of
horrible
vibration. It's just there's something about that that it's not attuned to your own vibes.
Yeah, maybe.
It's against you, because we all produce these vibes all the time. I'm sure we do.
Yeah.
And so it must be a ginnam. I don't know. I haven't read the research. They won an award for it. And the final award this year was how to stop hiccups. You know when you get hiccups, sometimes you think, because you've read a report that people get hiccups for 10 years.
Yeah, some people live with it, don't they?
Non-stop.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. And every time I get hiccups, I think, oh, God, it might be...
What if this is it for the rest of my life?
Exactly, which would be, you know, bad for this line of work.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't be
it?
Ideal.
But also, you get that thing where you have to... where you cough and hiccup at the same time.
Oh.
So the air's going out and in. That is a nightmare. And you do think that how am I ever going to stop it? And some people they call it intractable hiccups. Some people they just can't get rid of it. The way that works for me is you get a glass of water and you drink from the opposite side.
That's
so that you're
bent
over a glass of water, drinking from the wrong side of it, and that seems to pretty much work. Being frightened doesn't really work for me. Putting your head in a bag, or like breathing into a bag, that doesn't really work
scared?
Either. What, being frightened? Well, what's the difference between being frightened and being scared?
Sorry, I was thinking of someone shouting.
like that. Well, they've come up with a surefire method of curing intractable hiccups. Do you know what it is?
No.
Do you even want to know?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes.
The study was called The Termination of Intractable Hiccups with Digital... rectal massage. Oh, wrong end.
Oh, that's horrible. Why are we focusing on this area of our bodies?
Which area?
Down there.
I don't know. Let's analyse it.
I took the inside.
Swansea, John.
Oh, there. Again.
Again?
So, fishing. You take a bunch of kids out, and you give them, you know, the fishing rods and stuff, and you say, fish until you catch something. Does that, sounds good?
No, not really, but you can only call once. That's the rule. Even if I have to sit here and whistle, you can only call once. But thanks for trying, John. So, are the papers up here? Can we take a look at the front pages or not? Are they actually in? Do you have
them
with you?
Actually in, but I need to run down and get them.
Oh, blimey, we've only got 5 minutes.
Do you want me to get them?
No. You won't be down and up in time.
You could tie me.
Unless we have another break. Do we have a break?
Afraid not.
Right, well, that's...
too late.
It's out, yeah. We'll just have to have a little chit-chat. Who's on next? My screen's dead.
Bill.
Right, Bill's coming in at one. Now, I've got stories. You can choose the last 5 minutes, all right?
Okay.
I'll be very magnanimous. I've got no end of stories. I'll give you some that you'll like.
Yes.
And some that you might not. You're very strict.
Right.
Here's the sound that you'll hear over at Loser's Place a lot. Arab states who want to go nuclear. That might be a bit too serious.
Yeah. I think so.
A gay evangelist. One of these TV preachers who keeps you banging on about how homosexuality is a sin, who all the while was paying for it, paying for hot man action for years and years on end.
Okay.
The fiddling of targets set by the government within the NHS and schools.
No.
Hook's son on the underground. Can you believe that Ken Livingstone came out in favour of this guy? The Hook's son, what's his name? Abu Hamza's fanatical son was rumbled by underground workmates when they saw a picture in the Sun. It was the Sun what won it. They're never frightened to come forward and accept the glory. And Ken Livingstone came out straight away and said, "How dare you vilify the good name of this convicted terrorist?" You could have been convicted in Yemen or something. And Ken said, "Oh, Yemen. Oh, well, forget about it. Yemen, notorious they are for, saying bad things about people who are truly upstanding." And we don't mind that. In fact, we insist on his right to work in tunnels under the Houses of Parliament, he said. And then he must it was just like what they call a brain fart. he just couldn't help himself. He just blurted it out. And then he must have read the reaction to what he said, had a quick think at lunch. Maybe he went fishing. And then he came back and thought, "Oh, you know what? I said, sorry about that," he said.
"I am very sorry that I screwed up. Totally screwed. I mean, I am so sorry. You just don't know how sorry I am. I'm sorry."
So he was sorry, and he completely changed his mind. Everything I just said was completely wrong, and it's if you heard me say yes, what I actually meant was no. That's what yes means, no. What does yes mean?
No.
Yeah. I think that was just laugh out loud funny. Well, he won't be putting that on a poster, will he? Mayor of London. Thanks for all the money. So there's that.
Right.
The cost of the Olympics is spiralling out of control. iPods at work or sex with sheep?
iPods at work, please.
Sex with sheep?
iPods at work, please. That's awesome.
The Sun did this sex with sheep story.
Oh, no. What are you doing?
About an asylum seeker who, who had sex with a ewe as its, quote, male partner looked on, a court heard. The best bit about this story is the picture that the Sun has put at the top of the story. Two sheep with their eyes blacked out in order to protect their identity. That was a stroke of genius. Oh, I laughed out loud when I saw that. Little black bars over their eyes so you wouldn't be able to tell who they were. Oh, the Sun must just sit around having a drink at the pub just thinking this stuff up. Must be a right laugh working there. That's what Rupert Murdoch says. Anyway, this has been fun. Thanks a lot for your support. Bill is next. I'm Nick Abbott. This is LBC, and I'll be back on Saturday at 10 o'clock.